let's learn how to speak French, because it's time for Frenching with Freakazoid.
Bonjour, classe. Comment allez-vous? Bon. Et maintenant, la leçon du jour. Qui a coupé le fromage? Je répète. Qui a coupé le fromage? Who cut the cheese? Who cut the cheese? Qui a coupé le fromage? Bon, merci. Au revoir.
This has been Frenching with Freakazoid.
You're listening to Nowhere on Mulberry, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
Right, please.
Oh, thank the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. It's terrible. There's a disgusting pervert flashing people.
Ma'am, I need you to calm down.
I can't calm down. You calm down. Oh, my God.
Ma'am, tell me your location.
He's right in front of the building on 323 Karuna Street.
That's this address, ma'am.
Oh, well, then maybe you can see him. He's right in front of the building. Go look. I'll hold. Did you see him? Oh, he's disgusting.
He certainly is, ma'am.
Oh, I think he's going to the window again.
Oh, the humanity. He's all bulgy. He's like a moose. Oh, no. I think he's going back again.
So I was sitting in my cubicle today, and I realized ever since I started working, every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it. So that means that every single day that you see me, that's on the worst day of my life.
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah.
Wow, that's messed up. I'm sorry. Go on.
Is there any way that you could sort of just zonk me out so that, like, I don't know that I'm at work? In here, could I come home and think that I've been fishing all day or something?
That's really not what I do, Peter. However, the good news is I think I can help you. I want you to do something for me, Peter. I want you to try and relax. I want you to relax every muscle in your body, beginning with your toes to your fingertips. I want you to relax your legs. You're beginning to feel your eyelids getting heavy as you slip deeper and deeper into a state of complete relaxation. All your cares and concerns are disappearing deeper and deeper. Way down, your concern about your job melts away. Way, way down. Now when I count backwards from three, you will be in a state of complete relaxation. Your worries, cares, and inhibitions will be gone. And you'll remain in that state until I snap my fingers. Three. Deeper and deeper. Way, way down. Two. Deeper and deeper. Way down. One.
What goes on in this town is none of your business.
As long as I'm living here, it is.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
Well, that's easily fixed.
Boom! Yeah! Boom goes the dynamite! Woohoo!
Oh, yeah.
Wipe out! Hey, everyone, it's time for Nora Mulberry! Woo! It's Friday when we're live. I am the J-Strom. How are you? We're here to talk film, television, and pop culture. And I don't do the show alone. No, I don't. I do it with Steven the Pop Culture Zealot. Hey, Steven.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, sir. We also do the show with Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How are you doing, Bill?
Hey.
Hey, Bill. How's it going? You sound great.
Oh, okay, good.
Good times and great wine, sir. We're still on the PA system. It's so funny. I was telling Steven how, like, I will, like, mess with all the settings and stuff. And I'll be messing with everything, experimenting. And I will tell myself everything's fine. Like, I've got it worked out. Dude, it's awesome. And then I'll come back and I'll go, it sounds no different. What? I didn't fix anything. It's so funny. So how you doing, Bill?
I'm all right. I'm okay. A little flustered.
Now, tell me, you were like, are you on your regular laptop or did you have to use something else?
Well, I am on my regular laptop. The past 2 or 3 days, I'd been having issues whenever I was booting up. Right. And this morning when I booted up, it wouldn't get past the startup screen. And I went into the BIOS to look what was going on, and my hard drive wasn't getting recognized, and I paid a lot of money for it. It's one of those solid state drives.
Yeah.
It just wasn't getting recognized. So I took it out of my laptop and I'm taking it to every computer in the house, checking to see if it'll be recognized on that. Maybe I need to upgrade the firmware. I don't know, but it's not getting recognized on anything. So, I had to, do an RMA, and I have my junk drawer consists of computer parts, and I had a 500 gigabyte Western Digital black 2.5-inch hard drive in there that I took out of something before, so I just slapped it in this thing, and I've been reinstalling everything on it.
Wow.
Just to have the system up and running so that I can use it. So now I have to send the SSD drive back, and hopefully they'll send me one that actually works, because I paid close to $700 for it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's That's a Samsung expensive. 830, and it's a 512-megabyte drive, or 512-gigabyte drive, and nice. They're like $700. So.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's... the speed is incredible. I mean, from me pressing on to being at the Windows screen is like 6 seconds. It's that fast, and everything is that fast. The gaming loads up and everything. There's no delay at all.
So it's,
I mean,
definitely
it's worth the price, but it's really pissing me off that you pay that much money for something and it takes a crap on you. So
yeah, totally.
Now I just need to wait for them to get back to me on exchanging it.
Yeah, we have I have a 500 gigabyte external hard drive that I've had for a long time. It's the first one I ever bought. And lately it's been acting weird. Like it just won't work, and then it will work, and then it won't work. It's kind of strange.
Yeah, that's the one I had you run check disk on, right?
Yeah. And right now it's working, and then like it'll say is not reading it format, and I have to hit cancel. So what I did is I realized that it used to be on my old computer, which I had a 100 gigabyte hard drive. Like, that's how tiny it was.
Yep.
And on this computer, I have a terabyte. And I was like, hell, I'll just put everything on this computer that's on the external hard drive. But I also have another external hard drive. So I have it on the main computer hard drive, another external hard drive, and then the one that's acting weird. So at least I have it in three places now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, all I'm anal about backups too.
Yeah, you don't want all those NIMs to disappear forever. That'd be really sad. I'm sorry about computer problems suck, Bill. I'm sorry you had to go through that.
Yeah, I hate computer problems so much.
And you know what's probably irritating is you're telling me that you're having those problems, and I was like, well, you could probably do the show on this or this or this. You know, it's just like, I'm not worried about
that. Well, I was trying to keep my options open.
Yeah.
Like, I used to have 3 laptops, but then you get shit from your family. Like, what do you have 3 laptops for? What do you want?
Like,
so I have my MacBook, I have my gaming laptop, and I have a $1,000 Dell that is just for, doing Microsoft Office, like schoolwork, office work, stuff like that.
Porn.
So I gave my Porn. Microsoft or my MacBook Pro to my mom because it's a Mac and you can't screw it up that bad.
Right.
So I was comfortable with her using that, and it's like 2 years old, and so I just gave that to her, and I gave my $1,000 laptop to my dad. So now I just have my gaming laptop that I'm on right now. So and my main computer has been down since before my surgery because I have RAID arrays in it, which are multiple hard drives that you stack on top of one another. Basically, it's a RAID 0 array, so it's 2 hard drives combined to make 1 hard drive.
Right.
And my main RAID array went bad, and I still haven't upgraded it. So my big computer's down, so I'm not on my laptop. It's the only one I have, so I was rushing. I went to see Battleship because I just wanted to take a break.
Yeah.
And I got home, and I've just been trying to get all the updates, all the drivers into this thing without too many problems. And it's such a pain in the ass because every time you install something, you have to reboot. And then sometimes the driver won't take right, or, you know, you download a file and maybe the file isn't totally copacetic, it's a little corrupted, so then you have to install it again. I've just been fighting with it for like 4 hours since
I was gonna say, hey Bill, screw it, I'll just call you on your phone and we'll do the show that way.
Right. I wouldn't, you know how anal I am, I would never do that in my life. I can't stand bad sound.
It would just be like, hey Bill, a phone interview, how's it going?
Yeah, we did that one time and I was like, this sounds horrible.
Yeah, what was that, like episode 17.
I was on the run from 18? Browncoats.
Yeah. Holy shit. That was a long time ago. I don't even know what episode. It was a
very long time ago.
We'll have to ask Adam someday, you know. What episode was it?
Whatever happened to the Adam and Ross's NIM thing?
Twin IM? I don't know.
Twin IM, yeah.
I know that Adam got a fixer-upper house, and he's a real handy dude, and he's basically just always working on the house when he's not working. So
see, that's cool.
That
see,
dude's
I'm okay
got
with
no free
that.
Time. Oh, and Annie has the most beautiful, gorgeous baby I've ever seen. That he's always putting pictures of his daughter on Facebook, and there are always these really cool pictures. Have you seen the one where he's like holding her by her feet, and she's standing straight up on like the palm of his hand?
My favorite one is where he has her, and they're sitting at a table, and she's passed out on his hand, and he looks like he's ready to be passed out too.
Yeah, I was like, I wonder what time at night that was or something. They're just really exhausted.
Yeah, she's adorable.
There's another one where he's holding her up in the, I can't even remember what it is, but it's really funny. It's like trick photography or something. I don't know how he's doing it.
I'll have to take a look. I think it's his wife that normally posts them, and luckily she tags him in them so I can see him.
Yeah, he's a beautiful daughter. But so everyone's doing great. We actually only have one voicemail this week, Bill. It's from Mike. So thank you, Mike, for at least giving us one voicemail.
He's our Irish luck.
Yes, he's our go-to guy for voicemail.
Is he a leprechaun?
I don't know. Is he a leprechaun?
If he does, I would love some gold.
You know what I wonder is, like, are people used to us doing, you know how for a while we were doing a show every other week or something?
Mm-hmm.
Did no one expect us to do a show this week?
Who else in the love car say yay? Yay!
I wonder if Mike gets – if I wonder if people go to Ireland and do that. Like, oh, it sounds like a bunch of leprechauns.
Who else in the leprechaun say yay? Yay!
Like, at what point does it become so annoying that you just clock someone?
Yeah, it's like, okay, in Texas, we ride on horses and we wear cowboy hats. In Ireland, they have leprechauns running around.
It's in Pennsylvania and Ohio. We live in the mountains and chew tobacco.
And you're all on Rumspringa.
Yes. Yeah.
You're all Amish.
I'm 40 minutes north of the big Amish town, Lancaster. I have a friend down there, and Amish people are awesome, quite frankly.
Do you know anyone named Hamish?
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome.
I need to find me a really hot Amish girl on Rumspringa.
Oh yeah.
What was that sex drive? Oh, that was one girl.
Sex drive. Have you ever seen that?
The girl that Clark Duke hooks up with.
Yeah.
Wowza.
That's a funny movie. It is wrong funny. In
Rumspringa!
So many ways.
Rumspringa.
And they're just like the nicest people in the world fixing their car and stuff.
Yeah, Seth Green.
Yeah.
Just gives him constant shit.
Yeah. Just
but that's how Amish people are. I have never met like an Amish person that had a shitty attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
Yeah, I know. I think we've had some sex drive in the intro before, but it's a long time ago.
Hey, how about you sit the back down before me and you have a problem?
Yeah, there we go. Okay, let's go ahead and listen to Mike's voicemail. Hey, Mike, what's up?
Hey, Mulberry. It's Mike from Ireland here.
Hi,
making a voicemail since Jason put me under threat on Facebook. No voicemail, no show. So,
that's right.
Fine, voicemail,
the only way we
but no entertainment.
You're with it.
Yeah, anyway, I'm trying to stop having verbal pauses and things like that in my voicemails because it actually drives me crazy when I'm actually listening back to a show to hear me kind of umming and ahhing and sort of filling up gaps. It just I don't know why I do it. I started doing it just there, and I'm going to try and keep going, keep talking no matter what. That was a long Avengers talk last week. I wasn't really expecting that level of discussion, and it was kind of a strange one. Like, it wasn't a Mulberry Departed conversation, for example, where, you know, Bill didn't like the Departed and Jason did, and Stephen just wouldn't shut up, you know, in that conversation. This was more like Jason really liked it, Bill pretty much liked it, and as per usual, Stephen just wouldn't stop talking. But it was kind of Bill just felt it had been overhyped a bit, but yeah, everything is overhyped, isn't it? Jesus, the Dark Knight is overhyped. I mean, out yet.
I overhyped his voicemail.
Dark Knight Rises or whatever. But I know there's a kind of a, do you listen to it or do you really pay attention to that stuff? I don't, you know, because I often find that my tastes on things are completely off what other people seem to like anyway, you know. For me, like, probably the best movie I've seen this year has been Chronicle, to be quite honest. I just thought it was better than anything else. So you can't kind of, you know, calibrate your expectations based on other people, unless you know their tastes and are very, very like your own, you know. I think that's where film reviewers are most useful. You kind of found one that pretty much seemed to like the same things as you did, and then you could kind of depend on their opinions most of the time. But that doesn't seem to, you know, the problem with Facebook, I suppose, lots of people saying, yeah, you know, about everything and going crazy. But yeah, one way or the other.
It's like,
well, anyway, it was a good show. God, that sounded really... It was a great show. I really enjoyed it. I've been trying to get a kickstand so that just in case anybody pulled and pushed or pulled a rug from under me at the same time. Something you may not know, and obviously you don't know, is that I'm very physically clumsy. It's partially to do with the fact that my depth perception is really poor and I bang into things a lot and I fall over a lot. So, you know, that might sound as if you can be pushed, pulled, have the rug pulled from under you and go up in the air and need a kickstand at the same time. That probably would suit me. That's probably a reasonable description. But is it just me? I've noticed in recent episodes since you come back that there actually doesn't seem to be that much on TV.
There's nothing on TV.
It just doesn't seem to be very much to watch. That you know, it's very few sort of excellent programs. Just maybe it's kind of that little gap between things ending and summer shows kind of coming in. But yeah, TV's pretty. It's not like TV's poor at the moment. This is a bit like Bill with the Avengers. It's not actually anything wrong. It's just there's not a lot maybe to get excited about. I mean, you're talking about Alcatraz, and it's maybe four good episodes in a season. It's like, oh, no sale. You know what I mean? I'm not going to watch a season just to watch four good episodes, you know? Myself and the wife just ran through Dexter from season one to season five over the last, like, 2 or 3 weeks. We really enjoyed that. Like, we haven't watched season six yet because it is difficult to get these things in Ireland. Sometimes they don't release them in a timely fashion, and you have to resort to the internet and all that sort of stuff. Then that's just, to be honest, you can do, but it's just a bit of a pain in the arse, to be quite honest. Yeah, I'm very late. I just like to watch things easy. It's either on the Apple TV and Netflix, or it's on a DVD, and it's just that whole, hey, I can download stuff and transfer files across to my team app. No, I'll just do something else instead.
Anyway, that's me.
That's the end of my voicemail. It's not exactly as short as I was planning. Bye-bye. Have a great show.
Thanks, Mike.
For God's sake.
Oh, he's still there.
Why can't I turn this off? I'm also starting to get slightly worried that my thing, she's sending a sort of a PS voicemail after my main voicemail to sort of explain some nonsense in my original voicemail. I don't know if that's a good thing. It probably drives Jason absolutely crazy. But
bonkers.
Yeah. Luckily, I don't actually have anything to say on this one, so it's really short. Bye.
Well, thanks, Mike. Thanks for all that. I don't know. We could debate on hype and stuff. I think it's this, Bill. It's simply this. Sometimes it gets you. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you ignore it, but sometimes it does get you.
You can't help it, especially whenever you kind of belong to that subsect of movie nerddom.
Yeah, where everyone's excited about stuff.
Yeah, and then it just, you can't help it.
And sometimes there will be a certain movie, say like Batman. I want to see Dark Knight Rises or whatever, Rising, whatever the hell it's called. That's how...
Dark Knight Fermenting.
That's how distant it is from me. I will see it when it comes out, but I am not all pumped up for it because I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to do it. But then, like, the Avengers, I did start getting... Remember when the Avengers trailer came out? I wasn't that excited about it. It wasn't until it was finally out and I went to see it that I was like, all right, man, I'm into
this. I was pumped up for Prometheus until Ridley Scott decided to show us the entire movie every other week.
Yeah.
It's like, it seems like there's a new trailer.
I haven't watched the latest thing because I've seen some kind of weird creature thing, but apparently there was another one where people are like, okay, this one, don't watch this one or something.
Yeah, I'm not. The last one I watched was the international trailer, and I've been avoiding everything from that point on.
But you know what's funny is he brought up the whole Departed thing. That was like early in our friendship in doing the show, Bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was.
There's a kind of thing where it's a dynamic between friends where you like something so much that you're defensive about it, mm-hmm. and you don't know how to handle it if a friend doesn't. Sometimes you're argumentative or sometimes you accept it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But The Departed, honestly, after all these years, I liked it when it came out. I don't have any desire to watch it again. So I know
it was on again, oh God, like a week or two ago on one of the paid channels.
Right.
And I guess because my experience with the Infernal Affairs trilogy and enjoying it so much, it still weighs heavily upon me because I want it. I want The Departed to be something special like the Infernal Affairs films were for me.
I just feel
it's so overly violent and vulgar that it turns me off. It's like it's trying so hard to be Goodfellas-ish.
Yeah, I mean,
that it doesn't work for me.
It just was on regular TV 2 days ago.
How?
Yeah. Oh, it was so cut and chopped
up. Yeah, they changed it through Scorsese's mentality or something like that. I don't know. But anyway, what I'm saying is, like, the Avengers, like, even, like, now if you tell me, like, you don't like a movie that I've already seen or whatever, I'm like, oh, okay. The Avengers was different, though. I was, like, really pumped up. You know, I wasn't very critical of it when I saw it. And, you know, I tried to nitpick a little things last week to at least be somewhat critical. But I was so jazzed about it. But it's almost like... it was like when I saw on Facebook that you said that... You didn't say you hated it or anything like that.
No.
I saw you had problems with it. It was almost like you told me you were, Jason, I've turned to Scientology. Ooh. You know, just a little bit disappointed. But, yeah,
I need to clear my thetans, damn it.
No, but
you need the clay table reading.
But you need to understand that auditing works.
The knee-jerk reaction is to go, well, why? Well, no. Well, that's dumb. Here's why I think it's badass. But I listen to your reasons, and it's completely valid. It's your opinion, and it's no big deal. You know,
I can still enjoy it for what it is. I was expecting something else.
I wanted us to do a running high five, jump in the air after. You know,
maybe if I would have saw it with you and Emma, I would have been that way.
You know, Clifton
maybe
Gonzalez,
the electricity of it all would have gotten to me.
Clifton Gonzalez and Thomas Jane and Scott Pilgrim, you know, when they're
That I can totally say that I would have given you a running high five on.
Well, do you remember their two characters do a high five, jump high five in that after they blast Brandon Ruth or whatever?
The vegan police.
And see, that's what, like, after the Avengers, you know, like, yeah, high five, woohoo! You know, and then coins go everywhere, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, you got to make sure you get them because you want to go to the arcade later.
You know, I have to really get fired up about something, I guess. Like, if I really felt strongly about a film and you outright hated it, maybe you and I might argue over it or something.
Come to fisticuffs.
But I think after all this time and friendship and stuff, I'm just like, oh, okay, that's his.
I can almost predict what I'll like or not like. And this one was just kind of like, wait a second.
I think so. You know, something like Chronicle, like he was saying, that was like his favorite movie this year. I would say there was little hype to it. I had expectations for it just based on the trailer. I like the premise. And I think we were kind of excited about that, you know?
I was blown away by it. I let myself get totally sucked into it emotionally.
I think the only way it could have disappointed me is if it had a dud ending, because a lot of those type of movies do.
They don't know how to end.
I was pleased with the ending. Yeah, they don't know how to end. And hell, a lot of modern-day blockbusters don't know how to end either. That's why I'm not that excited about, like, Mission Impossible. I mean, Mission Impossible. Men in Black. I have no problem with Mission Impossible.
I have absolutely no interest in Men in Black. I saw the first two in the theaters, and I remember seeing the second one and going, this is terrible. Like, I think I was in maybe junior year of high school when it came out.
The main problem with it is that I think it's a lot of fun, Men in Black, the first one. It's kind of a dud ending, man.
Does it have kind of a dud ending, it's just, it's a one-movie film. I mean, it just, they're like, they went back to the well and they're going back again, and there's just nothing there.
I am interested how they're going to use Josh Brolin as Tommy Lee Jones' character.
His impression is spotless.
Is he doing Tommy Lee Jones, or is that just Tommy Lee Jones' voice?
No, he's doing Tommy Lee Jones.
See, I had no idea that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's probably the only thing I'm interested in, seeing Josh Brolin in that role. I love Brian.
I like Josh Brolin. I don't care what he's in. I like him. He
is good.
Ever since the Goonies.
Yeah, he's a man. Oh, well, we'll talk about entertainment in a second. But, yeah, that's our voicemail. And I wanted to say something. Okay, time is coming up for the enhanced feed to get charged money for it again. And I'm not doing enhanced shows. I think I'm going to drop the enhanced feed. And everyone just resubscribe to the regular feed on iTunes, if that's how you get our show. Because...
Is that the message for the week?
Yeah, I think so, because I honestly, I don't see me doing any more enhanced shows. And if I do one, I'll put it on the regular feed anyway. I can do that if I do some kind of special enhanced show. The main problem is I don't want to be charged another year for a feed that I'm not using the reason it's for. Because right now, whenever I put out a show, I put it on the regular feed and the enhanced feed at the same time. And it's just kind of pointless. My only problem that's kept me from doing it is on iTunes. Our enhanced feed is featured in the At the Movie, so I don't know what the hell I'm going to do with that.
Oh, really?
I'm thinking about what I'll do is on FeedBurner, drop the feed, the regular feed, into the enhanced feed on FeedBurner. That way, on the enhanced feed, you will just get our regular feed of all our shows. Maybe that'll work that way. I don't know.
Hopefully it will.
It'll be an experiment. I don't know. But anyway, guys, what do you say we get into entertainment?
Let's do it.
All right, entertainment! Now, Bill, I know you saw Battleship, but I want to mention one thing I watched this week on regular television, but it could count as a film because it's a documentary, right? Nothing as cool as Papatopoulos, which you watched, by the way, after the last
one,
right?
Holy crap, I love that movie.
Did you like Papatopoulos?
It was great.
It's really funny, isn't it?
I want to rent a cabin and shoot a movie.
But it's just so funny. I was just giggling at the whole thing.
It's hilarious and it's tragic.
Yeah, the thing that's so funny is how grumpy Jim Wynorski is when he's filming. Yeah.
And you can tell he's just not. It's such a job to him now. There's no glee in it anymore. He's just. I mean, how can he? He's sitting there during one shot where they're all talking about how he's not the same Jim Wynorski he used to be.
Yeah.
And there's these three women in a hot tub making out, and he's just sitting there looking like, here we go again.
All right, looks like I got the shot.
Gotta make sure. Did we get the shot? Okay.
It's so funny that one actress who's worked with him a lot, she's like, I think he got pulled off the teat like way too early or something.
Yeah, that's how he's obsessed with boobs.
He's just obsessed with gigantic breasts.
Yeah, I can't remember her name, but she's the same one that said she was a classically trained actress.
Right.
And that she didn't like that he was getting porn stars to do the movies because
he was getting
there's no place for beef movie actresses anymore.
It's so funny when he has the real porn star Stormy doing a sex scene, and she's never done a
sexual
real porn, and she's like, I don't know what I can touch or not.
Yeah, she's never done a soft core scene.
Yeah, how do I do this? I don't know what I'm doing. And she's used to just grabbing it and going to town, I guess. And he's like, no, just do whatever you want, but I got a sock down here.
Yeah, it's funny that after I was like, she's kind of cute. So I went looking for like her previous work, and I was like, Jesus.
She's really a hardcore actress. Yeah,
it's just, it's actress. I don't know how you can be an actress when you have things in places they shouldn't be.
You know what's so funny is when he's like, hey, I'm wearing a sock down here. Don't worry about it. And she's like, I think he pulled that sock off his foot. Gross.
Yes.
He just took it out of his shoe and put it on
his
thing.
Normally, there's like an actual thing that they have, and that's used a straight sock off his foot.
You know, one of my favorite parts is when they're doing an outside bonfire scenes, and he's got them all with flashlights wiggling them back and forth, and there's this one kind of blonde bimbo who's shaking a flashlight, but it's off the whole time, so she's just shaking it, and he's like, honey, it's not on.
I'm shaking this, and I just don't see my light.
Where's the light at? It doesn't. And it's not working. It's like,
that whole scene where they don't have a permit to film in the national park.
And
they don't know how they're going to capture the light. And even the camera guy's like, listen, this is not going to work. And he's like, well, just put more fire on it. Get it hotter. Yeah. And he's like, okay, well, put more fluid, some lighter fluid on it. And they get it raging. Like, and then the girls are standing there all covered in hairspray and whatnot.
And he's like, they're really close to that fire and there's ember and everything going everywhere.
The dumbass PA, he gets wood that isn't properly seasoned. He just starts picking up wood off the ground.
Yeah, I was waiting for an accident.
Yeah, it's popping and fizzing, and it's such a disaster waiting to happen.
The one thing I love about Jim Wynorski is also he'll be like, no, do it like this. And he, like the crinkled paper in front of the light to make it look like, and he hands it to him, and the guy does it for a second. He goes, just give it back. Let me do it.
Yeah. So they give up on the fire. They go back to the cabin where this like retaining wall is. I don't know how many shots they do at that retaining wall.
That's the same wall, yeah.
Yeah, and they they use what do you call that? That lighting gel,
like gels, or
yeah, and they start using that with flashlights and spotlights instead of the fire.
What's funny is he shows them to do something, and it looks like they do it exactly the way he said it, but he's like, "Oh, you're doing it wrong." So funny.
It's so funny and so sad, and his poor mother.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
Jimmy makes the movies.
Oh, yeah. And she's so clueless about what's going on.
She can't hang up the phone in one scene. She's fighting with the phone.
Oh, yeah, that was sad.
Pop those bottles.
it's just like, leave this poor woman alone.
I know. You see her, she's trying to hang up the phone for a while, and she finally figures out the receiver's, like, the wrong way. And just like, oh, she's...
And that's her phone. How many times does she use that phone? But yeah, it's really funny, and it's really sad, and it's just, it's a crash course for guerrilla filmmaking. If you're a film school student, you should watch this movie.
Oh, totally. What did you think about it at the end where it's basically said all the places he sold the film and
yeah, it's worldwide, everywhere. The Witches of Brestwick.
Yeah.
And it is the lowest budget thing I think I've ever seen.
Here's something the whole family will enjoy.
Yes.
Now, did he have to do that?
The lead guy seemed, he seemed charismatic.
Yeah.
You know, he was funny. He had some good lines, but I was like, I wonder where that guy is now. And
he's probably doing those same movies. But
yeah, exactly. I think he's had like little bit parts on TV stuff, but nothing big.
What I wonder is, like, honestly, you probably go out to be a real legitimate actor and audition for TV shows, and eventually you get a break, and you know, like, oh hell, I'll do some nudity on one of these, you know, movies. But everyone has HBO, Cinemax, Showtime. You know, family members have to see it and be like, oh, there's Joe again. He's naked, yep. Fake banging some chick. Aha, it's so funny. I just don't understand. Like, when do you just say, oh, what the hell, I'll do this? Because he's not in porn. It's in some of those actresses. Like, that one lady thought she was a real actress, and she's not in porn. She's in softcore stuff. So she's not really having sex on camera or whatever. There's a scene where she won't take her underwear off, and he's like, come on, take it off. She goes, no, you don't need it. Just shoot it a little above there. And everybody's like, come on, take it off.
Yeah, so he goes, funny. I'll just remove them in post.
Yeah, that's so funny. But now here's a documentary I watched, and it was on PBS, Bill. It was Johnny Carson, King of Late Night.
Part of the American Masters series.
The American Masters, yeah. And I thought it was really well done. It was really good. Those things always are, you know.
Yeah, and it's on PBS's website now. After it airs on PBS, they normally put it up. And there's some really good full interviews where they just use little clips from interviews and everything. But it's a great, great series.
I linked it on the Facebook. And everyone should watch it. And it's really good stuff, and I learned a lot of things about it.
Yeah, they're not biased. They're willing to admit that he was kind of an asshole.
I think
he was also an incredibly talented asshole.
It's hard to say that. I don't know if he was an asshole. I mean, it depends on what you mean by that. Like, was he an asshole to some people? He knew how to handle.
He had a certain.
He wasn't a great father. I mean, he was very distant and private.
Exactly. He wasn't a good father, and he was mean. He had certain requirements, if you will.
He wanted people to be very loyal, and if you weren't, then he kind of cut you out of his life.
Yeah, like Joan Rivers.
Yeah, I still don't. She even says at one point, maybe I shouldn't have done that, and I don't understand why she did it to begin with. Where Fox was courting her to do her own show, and she never told John.
You know, they were tempting her with more, with fame.
She was the guest host on Tonight Show for a long time when Johnny wasn't there, remember? Mm-hmm. And Fox was courting her, and she never told Johnny about it. And she just kind of – he just kind of found out, and so he's pissed and never talked to her again. And it seems like – I don't know, but you could have gone to him and said, hey, Fox is courting me for this. I'm going to stay with you, or what do you think? And he would have given his 2 cents or something. But instead, just to keep it a secret, that's worse.
Yeah.
But I respect him for a lot of reasons for how he handled himself in business. But, yeah, it seems like his home life was really kind of a lot to be desired. Like,
yeah.
With his wives and his children.
Wives and his children. And then I remember late 80s, early 90s, he lost a son.
Yeah.
In a car accident, I think, or I can't remember what it was. But yeah, I mean, he had it rough for a very long time.
And his mom never gave him that kind of I'm proud of you moment. And it always kind of he always desired that. And the one touching thing is they talked about it, like after his mom had died, they found a box of clippings and stuff she'd kept since the beginning of his career, like way early in his career up till present day.
Yeah.
And it said that he wanted that box and he kept it with him until the day he died. Cause that was like a charity. She never gave him that moment. Like, I'm so proud of you and stuff. She even did this interview with some paper or something where she watched the Tonight Show and critiqued it and basically said, it's not funny, you know, and it kind of like broke his heart. I don't understand what her problem was, but it sounds like she really did a number on him, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, from a different generation, as certain parents then weren't quite as caring.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I think it's the same for my dad who had older parents. I mean, his parents were in their late 50s when my father was born.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is a different generation.
I think it was Leno who said that old joke. He said about the man in the middle America who loved his wife so much, he almost told her. It's kind of like that. Where you don't really, you're real stoic.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a lot of people like that, but it drives me nuts. You know, like give them a friggin' hug already. You know,
I don't understand how certain people can go through life like that, not show affection for a family member.
You just don't talk, or you just want to sit quietly. Honestly,
yeah.
I hate that happened a lot in the past or whatever. But someone needed to go over and slap the drink out of their hand or whatever and say, come in here and visit your family. You're going to get out of your stupid
rut. But you're
going to
kind of think, too, that's what made him.
Yeah.
I mean, he fought so hard for it. If he'd have gotten the accolades early on, would he have given up?
Yeah, I don't know. That drives you. And that's what they talk about a lot, because a lot of different comedians talk about Johnny, and they say that, you know, every comedian has that story. They're basically looking for some kind of approval. That's what pushes a lot of people in everyday life, that approval that they seek, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that's what's good about the documentary. It's really cool to see all that stuff about Johnny. And I was genuinely laughing at all the old clips and stuff.
I have so many of those DVDs and VHS. Whenever he finally did retire in, I think, what, 92?
Mm-hmm.
They offered those video collections of, like, the final show and the show before the final show and then different moments and all that. And I love to go back and watch them. And that theme song, I get kind of that nostalgia pang whenever I hear it, because I remember,
man, was that
falling
set
asleep. What?
The set of the Tonight Show was so tacky and aged.
Oh, God, the rainbow curtains and all that.
Yeah, and some of those years, like, Johnny's outfits were so crazy and the like those
big giant collars.
Yeah,
and
the
stuff.
Gigantic collars and stuff.
Oh, yeah, like the late 70s, early 80s with like the Windsor ties.
Yeah, and Ed McMahon would always
Windsors.
Have these tacky suits on. And that was so funny, is I had no idea that Ed McMahon was the announcer for Johnny on another show, like on ABC.
Mm-hmm.
When he took the job at NBC, he took Ed McMahon with him. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, but what I was saying was about the theme song. It's just, I remember at night falling asleep next to my dad. Mm-hmm. My dad would work, you know, do his work in the living room, either on the couch or on the floor. And I remember staying up with him and watching the show and falling asleep to that. I just remember that so vividly, that I hear that and I kind of get that pang of, like, I miss that.
Yeah.
And it was such a crucial part to my my youth.
It's
literally what
it says in the documentary, that he was in everyone's home. Everyone knew who Johnny was. He was like the most famous man in America. And it's so true. And some of those things that old clips and stuff they show are really funny. It still holds up, some of the comedy. Some of it's
it makes
really
me feel bad that kids nowadays like have no idea who he is. I mean, they hear either jokes or references and stuff. But I mean, that's when late night TV was great. I mean, that was appointment television.
They talk about like how his first escape was magic. Like he had a book of magic and he learned all the sleight of hand and everything. And I had no idea that he was like this incredible drummer too. Like he could play the drums and people were like, if he didn't do this, he could do that big time, you know, cause he was an incredible drummer. And, the one thing that was neat also was how after he died, apparently, I didn't know this, but he had this, the Carson, charities where he would give money to things. Like he was really well read and most of his time was, spent reading papers or reading books or whatever. And if he'd ever find some kind of, person in need that he'd read about, he would donate money. And it turned out that like over $100 million or something he left to charities after he died. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Wow, yeah.
He's just an interesting dude, and he was so private, and that's cool. You know, you can be private.
Yeah, and it's after he left television, you never heard him or saw. You know, there was a point where there was rumors of a return or something, but that was, you know, just bullshit rumors.
He'd had
but
enough. I just can't believe, like, when the Tonight Show first started, it was an hour and 45 minutes, I think they said. Or was it 90 minutes? An hour and 30 minutes when it first started for a long time. So he did 5 live shows a week that were 90 minutes long. Wow, that's a lot of television.
That's dedication.
Yeah, it is. But everyone should check that out. It's really cool. And one thing that I thought was neat, too, just one more thing. Okay, Jace. A lot of his peers or a lot of comedians and stuff, they all respected Johnny so much, and they talk about the way he carried himself and the way he was a genius at pausing and not talking. Mm, he would know when to shut
and
up.
He got and that from Jack Benny.
Yeah, that was his idol, and he knew how to just play off somebody and do a great reaction. And then they show clips of him doing that, and you see exactly what they're talking about. I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, he was so good at that. So good.
Yeah, there's one point where after his like third divorce where he has someone like Diane Cannon, and she says something about like, no one would want to be divorce is horrible. Who would want to go through that more than once? And the camera like shows him and he just kind of gives this look like, oh. It's just hilarious.
Don't look at me.
Oh, okay. Now let's talk about Peter Berg's Battleship. Bill, you saw that today, right?
I did see it today. Yeah.
Tell me all about it, bro.
This is a movie made for little boys who love explosions and are just on the edge of thinking girls aren't icky.
Nice.
Because you have Brooklyn Decker running around, and everything is, you know, it's big, it's loud, there's aliens, there's...
Is it safe to compare it to Transformers? Would the Transformers audience...
You know, it's so... Peter Berg, by the way, of Michael Bay, it's hard not to separate them. Uh-huh. In fact, I was at times like, okay, is Peter Berg trying to make a joke here in how much it's so much like a Michael Bay moment? Or is the tongue firmly planted in cheek, or is this earnest?
Right.
Like now, I was so confused during it that I didn't know how to react.
What if it was like, okay, Peter Berg, we know he's a successful filmmaker, but what if he was like, I'm just going to give people what they want. Apparently they pay for this Transformers shit and they like this Drek. I'm going to make some Drek myself. And now if he did that, what would you think if he did have his tongue?
He totally succeeded at it. I mean, he takes a premise that there is no premise. it's all of a sudden, you know, it starts and all this stuff, you know, Taylor Kitsch is kind of a wayward asshole. His brother's the strong military type. You're going to join the military Battleship. And then it just – out of nowhere, it's like, oh, okay, so there's five objects coming in to orbit. One of them hits a satellite and crashes into, like, Hong Kong and kills thousands of people. And then the other ones hit the water, and I guess it's kind of like a scouting party. Nothing is explained.
Could
Everything
it easily
is just...
be the Decepticons attacking?
A little. It's very reminiscent of that. I mean, hell, it's reminiscent of Armageddon whenever the asteroid hits New York. I mean, it's just very derivative.
Does it take a while before you see the aliens, or do they attack pretty early?
No, I would have to say it takes about 40 minutes. You know,
holy shit.
The story has to get rolling. The movie's 2 hours. I mean, it's maybe 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Is it way too long? Because the Transformers movies are too long.
You know what? It is, but again, there's what shocks me is it's 2 hours long and it's there's no story. You know, it's mainly just all moments. Like, hey, let's do this. Oh, wait, this just blew up. Oh, wait, what are we going to do now? Let's do this. Now let's blow this up. And
is this
it's great seeing
the
Friday Night Lights
explosions.
People. Yeah, I mean, it's really just it's explosions and it's Brooklyn Decker in a tight fitting top, low cut. It's the one thing it is that I think some people weren't ready for is that it's very respectful to the armed forces. Like,
oh yeah, like oh, that's super, the way Michael Bay is. Are you kidding?
Well,
he loves the military.
It takes that and kind of doubles it.
Holy shit.
Yeah, like there's a moment of a scene where Brooklyn Decker's a physical therapist in the movie. So,
okay.
Of course, they go to like a therapy center, and there's so many real soldiers that he used in the film that are missing limbs and are in this rehab center and all that. And in fact, one of the main characters in the film is a guy that lost both of his legs, and it's kind of his dealing with that and being kind of mean to people and, you know, dealing with his demons of losing his legs. Uh-huh. And, but it's very respectful. And then the third act is even super duper respectful because once they lose all their ships, there's only one other ship they can take. And it's, you know, the USS Missouri, and it's filled with a crew that's all in their 80s. And
what?
Yeah. And they're,
they have walkers and stuff?
Yeah, well, basically, you know, they're all way past their prime, basically.
So it's a bunch of old guys kicking some ass, alien ass?
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. People don't understand how to take it because once they get on the Missouri, there's this scene where they're walking in slow motion and it's this old, decrepit crew, basically.
Is it like it turned into a comedy? Is that what it feels like?
No.
Oh,
it's honestly trying to be earnest. Like, these guys deserve the respect because these guys are not actors. I will tell
you
right now, their lines are so stiff and so unactorish.
It's just interesting that, I mean, why wouldn't you make a movie that didn't involve aliens if you wanted to portray them respectfully and do like a real like military type movie?
I know that is the ultimate conundrum of Battleship.
It's
because
baffling.
The final act tries to pay such respect to these veterans that it just comes across uncomfortable. And
what does Battles mean?
There was so much inappropriate laughter from the audience.
Oh.
They didn't know how to react because these guys are such bad actors and it's such an odd, it's like so jarring that I was like sitting there, I was like cowering in my seat, kind of like, oh no.
Well, let me ask you this. Were the Rippers pretty cool in the movie?
The Rippers are awesome. Very, very, Transformer-ish.
Uh-huh.
I mean, super Transformer-ish. But and there's a couple big scenes with them, just the way they rip through the ships and everything. I mean, it's cool, and there's some very cool gunshots and bullet things, gigantic shells, artillery shells, and it's a fun movie. It's just very uneven, and it tries to pay respect in a movie that is very goofy.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't work at moments, and there is some very uncomfortable moments of laughter. And that's it was really painful because I wanted Peter Berg to do something that just kind of showing I can do this, and I think he is.
Do you think it'll make a lot of money, but no way past?
No, it
Avengers?
Will not make a lot of money. It'll drop like a rock after the first week.
Because people go, dude, that movie's ridiculous.
Yeah, this movie is so dumb.
Well, they try to get you with the aliens and stuff, like, oh, maybe they're cool because they're in spacesuits or whatever.
Yeah, and then they take their helmets off. They should have never done that.
Is it disappointing when they have their helmets
the
off?
The alien design is just so bad. It's like they look like... they just look in very, very fakey, and they're, you know what they look like? They look like the aliens from Halo, basically.
Oh.
Like gigantic versions of the grunts, you know, the little things that run around and make weird sounds.
Those?
Like gigantic versions of those.
Is it like little dudes in big suits?
No, they're big dudes in big suits, but they just look like the little dudes.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Like, and they've got goatees of spikes.
Okay.
Yeah, they
do. They
it's
grow
not,
those,
it's like weird spiky things on their chins, and it's just
talk?
Like, no, don't take the helmet off. No, please, don't do that.
Does Liam Neeson face down with one, and they talk or anything?
Liam Neeson is in it probably a total of 3 minutes.
What?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he is. He's very. he's in the beginning. There's a scene in the middle, and there's a scene at the end, and that's Liam Neeson.
I guess
he is barely in it. And same with Alexander Skarsgård.
And he picked
barely
up his paycheck on the way out. Oh, really? Alexander Skarsgård, isn't it? So the main star is Taylor Kitsch, right?
The main star is Taylor Kitsch. Yeah, and he does a great job. He's very competent, and I think Landry Clark, Jesse Plemons, gets some really great scenes.
Oh, cool.
I mean,
he's Landry.
Yeah, he's really he really does a great job in it, and there's some great scenes, but it's few and far between, and it's really, really mindless. And it's like I said on Facebook, if I was 7 to 10 years old, I would think this was the greatest movie ever made, because I think the movie requires a certain amount of innocence.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you know, it get older and cynical and
no
just
cynicism,
not
cynicism. Yeah, a lack of cynicism.
Yeah, just the way that like, if I was a kid and I saw this scene in the last act of these older soldiers, these older sailors walking in Reservoir Dog mode across the deck of the USS Missouri,
that sounds so bad.
I wouldn't even be bothered by it. I'd be like, wow, who are these guys?
These guys are legends.
Yeah, these guys are legends. Exactly. That's what he's going for.
Yeah.
But it just comes across like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Now, let me ask you this.
It's just so tacky.
Who was better at acting, those old veterans who'd never acted before, or Rihanna?
Rihanna.
She was better actor?
Yeah, and she's bad. Oh, is she bad? It's like, why are you even here? And you know what? She looks like a troll. She's just very troll-looking, very strange.
What do you mean? Like,
her head is squished. In fact, she looks a lot like the angel. I think she might have. She might be shaving her spike goatee.
Oh, she's an alien, isn't she?
Yeah,
she's
a spy, so
isn't she?
Embarrassingly weird and goofy. Yeah, and there's moments where it's like, oh, okay, so these aliens need to use a satellite uplink, and if they hit this one satellite, then they're going to send a signal to their main group.
Mothership?
That's basically the entire movie. They need to get this weird force field down, and they need to take out this satellite group that the aliens have taken over, because this is obviously a scouting party. And they want to send a signal back like, hey, the resources we need are here or whatever.
Let me ask you this. Is the are there real losses of people, or is it kind of like G.I. Joe where people jump out of planes and stuff before they blow up?
There is no blood.
Okay.
There's blood in injuries, like getting beat up or
like
whatever.
Like a trickle
or
of blood out of your mouth and stuff?
Yeah, but there's no, the last...
Gunshot wounds or anything?
No, it's not like the last Transformers movie where people are, like, vaporized to bones.
Yes, skull and bones.
No, this is like when a ship blows up, it blows up from a distance and you don't see any bodies.
And you're just like, no, they all died.
Yeah, exactly. It's like there's a moment where he's like, my brother, my friends were on that boat. And it's like, were they?
It's like, are you sure? We didn't see them.
I didn't see them.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
It jumped off the side.
It's for this is a little boys' movie if there ever was one.
Sweet.
And in 10 years, whenever they're 20 years old and they go back to the movie and they watch it, go, what the hell did I see in this?
I guess Peter Berg, glad you got it out of your system. Now go make the Friday Night Lights movie.
Do real films, honestly, yeah. Please. I mean, I wasn't a fan of Hancock. I thought that was kind of weak.
Hancock.
This is absurdly childish, goofy, and it tries to be earnest, and it just isn't. I'm sure you'll take Emma to see it, right?
I don't know. I really don't know. See,
Emma is at the age where she would think this was awesome.
Oh, okay.
She would see the aliens and the fighting and all that, and she's the perfect age. She's
like
eight,
that
right?
Element of it too. Yeah, she's eight, but I'm
she's the perfect age for it.
I could probably appreciate that part too, and then
but you will know the moments.
Yeah.
The third act comes and they go to that USS Missouri and these guys. Oh man, I promise you that the theater will start laughing. Like, uncomfortably.
Wow. Okay.
Because there wasn't that many people in my showing. I went to the 12 or the 2:30 showing.
Honestly, why did this movie get greenlit?
It never should have gotten greenlit. It never should have gotten greenlit. There
Remember
is no story.
There's
one moment in the entire movie that they do a battleship homage.
Like a reference?
This Japanese soldier figures out how to use the buoy system to track where the alien ships are, and they use the waves from the buoys.
Because they're blind from where they are, right? Like,
yes,
the game?
Exactly. So they're like, okay, they're going to be at this point, fire!
Is there a part where Liam Neeson goes, you sank my battleship!
No, but there is a moment where I believe one of the USS Missouri guys says something like, they ain't going to sink this battleship.
I've got full-blown AIDS.
Because
oh my gosh.
Missouri is the first battleship in the movie. The rest of them are all destroyers. And they make sure you know that. Because at the very beginning, the little kid's like, what's the difference between a destroyer and a battleship? And Taylor Kitsch has to get in and give, like, the whole explanation to the kid. So it's very
Does he turn and wink at the camera while he's doing it?
Yeah, wink, just, wink. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, you might want to watch the sci-fi version Battleship.
I saw the commercial of that.
Mario Van Peebles does land that line. You sank my battleship.
Yeah, what is that called? I forget. It's like something.
American Battleship.
Yeah, American Battleship. Something. I love when sci-fi does
Universal
it.
Universal was trying to sue them because of the use of Battleship.
Oh, God. Why bother?
It's sci-fi, for Christ's sakes.
That's hilarious. I wonder if Stephen Baldwin is in it, too, in a bit part. All right, guys, what do you say we get into what's on our TiVo, and then we'll take a break soon. But first, you guys have got to check this out. Let's do what's on our TiVo. What's on our TiVo? All right, guys, from time to time we do Mulberry News Breaks. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I saw a news story this week on the legitimate news. I'm sitting there. It's our local news.
Legitimate news.
And I'm watching it, and I start laughing my ass off. Let me just set it up, and then I'll play you the audio, okay? This woman, she went and had her oil changed, her Mustang, at a Walmart, okay? One of those big Walmarts where they have the car centers, too.
Yeah.
The next time she went back to, like, whatever and to another Walmart to have her oil change. The guy was like, I saw something underneath your car. You need to look at this. It turns out that the person who changed her oil the last time defaced her car. They wrote something underneath the vehicle.
Well, why would you do that?
And it's pretty shocking. So I just want to play you guys this. You guys are going to be shocked and appalled. Let's check
it out. I'm already shocked.
A Fort Worth woman took her car in for service and was shocked to see what was left behind. The woman is describing the marks left on her car as satanic symbols.
Oh,
she's
no.
telling her story tonight, only to CBS 11's Carol Cavazza.
Not something you go to get an oil change and expect to leave with that on your car.
Jessica, a 25-year-old bakery manager who wants to shield her identity, is proud of her 2002 Mustang. She bought it herself. So she was shocked to find out someone had left marks on it, including the mark of the beast.
Yeah. I was pretty upset about it.
To see it for ourselves, we took it to an independent garage and put it on a lift, where we saw 666, an upside-down cross, and a pentagram written in light blue sealant underneath her car.
I wouldn't even like it myself. This is not good.
Who does that, being the satanic symbols? It puts a bad omen. What if it's a curse?
She says a kind Walmart service tech on Clifford Street told her about it when she was getting an oil change.
He seemed pretty upset about it. And he's like, well, the previous technician wrote something on your car.
She says he told her the color of the sealant was the color Walmart always uses. He took a picture and made a note of it on her receipt. Wrote satanic symbols on the cross member. Jessica had previously taken her car in for an oil change at
a
Walmart on
Oakmont.
She remembers the person who changed her oil.
He had an attitude, very sassy. By the time it was all said and done, I spent about 3 hours at that Walmart.
Sassy.
Just for an oil change.
She wrote to Walmart to complain.
I didn't get so much as an apology or we've taken care of this or we addressed the fact. Nothing.
But the mark of the beast remains.
Yeah, it just kind of puts a bad vibe on it.
In a statement to CBS 11 News, Walmart said, "We've looked into the matter, and although we've been unable to confirm the details, we never want our customers to have an unpleasant experience. And we've reached out to the customer and will continue to resolve the issue." Jessica said Walmart offered to scrape the symbols off, but hasn't offered anything else for her troubles.
I believe in God. It's just so disrespectful and just ridiculous for him to deface somebody's property with those kind of beliefs.
Jessica, a loyal Walmart customer, says she'll still take her Mustang to Walmart, but a routine oil change will never look the same. In Fort Worth, Carol Cavazos, CBS 11 News.
Jessica also told Carol that while she's waiting to see if Walmart might compensate her for her trouble, she's going to have them go ahead and scrape the satanic symbols from her car.
Good idea.
Oh, yeah, good idea.
Yeah, that's an excellent idea because you don't want a devil car.
I just love the Metallica in the background. Like, we need to get some devil music. I got some Metallica.
Somebody needs to tell Lars Ulrich they use their music samples and get them sued.
Yeah, it's like, first Napster, now these people, come on. But you know what's so funny is there is no visual there for you guys, but when they started the story, they did it in that kind of film with scratched frames kind of thing.
Oh, no.
It was green. And I was just like, what the hell is this? Give me a break. And she's like, it could be a curse or something. It's like, it's a teenager who was annoyed with you and he did that. It's nothing. Give me
a
break.
Or some 30-year-old guy who is a metalhead and he was bored.
Yeah, it means nothing. It's just some punk ass. And another thing that
did he sacrifice a goat while he was
there was
changing
a chicken
your
tied
oil?
to the drive shaft.
Do you guys? I'm sure you guys remember this. Like, Steven, when we were kids, there was such a big deal, like devil worshippers.
Oh, my God, man. I remember they sent us home from school one day with a pamphlet all about demonic symbols.
Yeah, devil worshipping.
It was like the early mid-80s, right?
Yeah.
That this was going on?
Yeah, totally.
Well, I remember because I listened to Kiss.
Yeah,
mid-late 70s.
The
mark of the beast.
I'll never forget when this kid showed up to a costume party as Gene Simmons. He showed up as Gene Simmons. I remember this. Their parents like, Oh my God. They were nice freaking out.
Service.
Luckily, me though, I was Huckleberry Finn. I had like some cut off jeans, and you my mom took some charcoal and rubbed it on my cheeks to make me look dirty. That was my costume. But this kid was Gene Simmons. And people were like, oh,
my God, it's a demon.
666.
That's so funny.
You know what AC/DC means?
People are
After Christ, devil's child.
Wait, devil's what?
Devil's child?
I thought it was devil comes.
No, when I was a kid, that was after Christ, devil's child, yeah.
But also, like, kiss, it could be knights in Satan's service. Or what was the other one?
Detroit Rock City?
I can't remember.
Because it's sort of satanic.
One. But, after death... wait, what AC/DC? After Christ, devil comes, and then it was devil's child. I've never heard that one. That's even better.
Wow. Yeah, that's what it was for me when I was a kid, was after Christ, devil's child.
But I remember, like, you guys watch out. There could be some devil worshippers or something. It's like,
it was Aleister Crowley, devil's child, was the other one, too.
What?
And Antichrist, devil's child. That was another one. There was a whole bunch of them whenever I was a kid.
Just come up with that shit, isn't it? But
there's somebody sitting in a room smoking dope going, hey, man, they're trying to dig up some AC/DC
names. Honestly, if someone would have showed that to my car, I would have been pissed that someone tried to deface it, but I would have laughed knowing that. Do you have some punk ass teenager working here? Because I guarantee you he's the one who did it, you know?
Yeah, Billy over there on aisle three there.
Yeah, he's wearing a Slayer shirt.
Again, what'd I do? It's that ignorant kind of mentality, like, oh my gosh, these symbols, it's going to affect me. These satanic things, you know.
It just kind of puts a bad vibe on it.
It's going to affect the reef out.
Yeah, the reef value. She's a Christian, like, and yet she believes in bad vibes?
Yeah, otherwise she's like, well, I believe in God. It's like, that has nothing to do with it. It was a punk-ass teenager who wrote something to shock you, and guess what? He did it.
And how would she would have ever known, being underneath the car, you know?
Yeah, she never would have found it. It's like the other guy. He's like, oh, you need to see this. This is shocking, you know?
If I was that guy, I just would have laughed and put the car back down. Well, who the hell cares?
I would have scraped it off and said a word.
Yeah.
This is not good.
That's not good.
Who was that guy? Just a guy out of nowhere. This is not good.
Yeah, they interviewed him outside of Walmart. Like, hey, somebody put devil symbols on this girl's car. That is not good.
That is not good. And I love at the end, you know, she has chosen to get it scraped off. And the reporter is like,
good idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Pentagrams are terrible.
Yeah, that's really scary.
They really ruin your mileage.
But it's so funny how, like, people get so, like, worked up over that stuff.
The car can turn into Christine.
When I was a kid, man, I just remember all that stuff.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, and I remember having to sit through those videos where they, like, analyzed every freaking song. Like, oh, well, this is satanic. Oh, well, that's satanic.
But you know what?
That is Ecstasy funny, because they used to play that on late night TV, the satanic DVDs, you know, tell you what music was satanic.
Honestly, if you ever see anything like that, all you need to do is this.
In the name of Lorik, Prince of Elves, demon be gone!
Every time, baby.
Yeah, I remember being told I couldn't listen to Ecstasy because of Dear God.
XTC, are you serious?
Yep.
That
they were satanic.
Sorry to disturb you, bud. I used to sing a version of that. It was, Dear God, sorry to disturb you, bud. I'm writing a pretentious song.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, come on.
Well, I know I've posted and sent you a link of those videos because they're on YouTube that they made us
I've seen some of them. Bill, you will not listen to that Peter Pumpkinhead song. There is something demonic about it. I saw a movie where he kills Pumpkinhead. Yeah, I saw that scary movie, and you will not listen to that song. It's like, what? It's not the Lance Henriksen movie.
That's the worst part of growing up in the church. You know, being part of a family every Sunday. I mean, it's they fed you that fear mongering horse shit, and I think that's why I'm so anti organized religion now as an adult. That I just feel it's become perverted in a way that they're using politics and scare tactics.
Right.
And it's just, I don't agree with it.
It keeps you scared.
All.
Keeps everyone scared.
Yeah, as long as you're scared, everything is going to be cool.
Possessed by the devil.
Yeah, I just don't. I hate it. It was such a horrible way to be raised.
I hate that. We got to be afraid of everything. And that's the one thing, you know, I don't want to preach or anything.
Don't play Dungeons and Dragons. It'll steal your soul.
The whole thing I don't understand about, it's all about having faith. And when you have faith,
none of that should affect you.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like, well, I have faith in what my beliefs, so screw all that. I'll, like, go see Kiss. It's not going to, worry me at all.
That's my philosophy now in life.
Right.
It's just, you know, I'm not bothered by any of that
if
stuff.
If you believe in what you believe, you know.
Yeah.
See you soon, you sly devil.
But they can't, they just about? Can't let that shit go. They have to get stirred up about things.
I guess it's just like something to be into or whatever.
But they have to be angry about something.
But when I saw this news story, it reminded me of that kind of hysteria back when we were kids. And I was like, are they just really? It's just funny, you know. All right, I have one more thing to play, and we're going to take a break, guys. What do you say?
Okay.
This week, I don't know if you guys know this, but Conan was on David Letterman.
After, I saw that.
I didn't know that.
After something like 19 years or something. I don't know. It could have been 9 years. I have no idea. But yeah, Conan was on Letterman, and they talked a little bit about Jay Leno. And Conan kind of played like, he was like, I was told we wouldn't be talking about this, but he was just kind of playing around. But let's just listen to some of their conversation. It was kind of funny. They kind of joke about Jay a little bit.
Jay's an asshole.
Have you spoken to anybody at NBC?
No. Who in particular? Anyone come to mind?
No, they're all gone, the people that I remember.
I think everyone involved in my situation, with maybe an exception, is gone. So there's no one there anymore that was there during my debacle.
Nobody at the
debacle.
Scene of the crime.
Yeah, it's a whole different. I'm told it's a lovely group. I wish them nothing but the best. And
put a polygraph on him.
And
what about your relationship with Jay? Because you knew Jay before he demanded that he get his show back.
I was assured none of this would come up tonight. I was told we would discuss our shared love of antiquing. our many wonderful vacations together. Yeah. I was never informed that this would come up, but what is your question again? And you repeat it as many times as you like.
We can get you an office at Blimpie's.
Trust me. But I'm so insecure now in my talk show jobs that I'm always eyeing tables at restaurants.
You just.
I could go there.
You just.
I could be happy.
But you had a relationship with Jay before. The felony took place. What was the relationship like with Jay before this?
Yeah, occasional phone call. Mm-hmm. And
did you feel a kinship, a camaraderie?
It's a busy world. I come from a large family. No, I would say up until this event, we didn't have that much in common.
Right.
We're quite different fellows. Mm-hmm. He and I. I don't know why I suddenly reverted to 19th century diction. He and I are different. And so we didn't have a lot to talk about in common.
Right.
I don't own many automobiles that were made before 1904. primarily of brass and leather. And so I don't know what to...
Now we're getting someplace.
I don't know...
Dave just wants some good knowledge. The whole thing.
It's blasting.
There are very few ways, and I'm not saying this in a disparaging tone at all. There are very few ways in which he and I relate.
Right.
We're not interested in, I don't think, in the same things.
Right. But nonetheless, you had a bond via NBC and your two late-night shows.
Yes, he was my lead-in. He was the host of The Tonight Show. I was the host of The Late Night Show.
Right, and they put him on at 10 o'clock, and then that didn't work out. And it was, so then they said, Jay, are you busy? And he said, no, I'm just working on my cars. I can... So he came back, and they said, well, go to
the... You're not doing the head waggle.
Give me an inner ear problem. I know from your perspective it was difficult.
What are we talking about now?
The you know, when you decided to go to TBS and all of that, and you took our show and did a great job there. Then you had The Tonight Show, did a great job there. And then... some kind of a mix-up.
I really don't recall. It's been a long time.
How do you
now.
Feel now on the other side of all of that? You got to feel great. You got to feel.
I feel terrific. Mm-hmm. I really do. You know, all I ever wanted to do was. I mean, I'm very lucky to get to go on television
right.
and to do my thing my way. And TBS lets me do whatever I want. Mm-hmm. They don't watch it. They don't care. checks come in.
They're not watching.
No. Oh, that's the magic. And I have a great time. We took all of our people with us, so everybody is happy, and I'm thrilled. It worked out.
Let me illustrate this. I've known Jay a long, long time.
Uh-huh.
We go back to the mid-70s, back in Los Angeles at the Comedy Store. Jay was always the guy, the funniest guy. He was the guy. He was the guy you'd go to see. He was the guy you wished you could be more like.
Uh-huh.
He was funny. He was also a bit of a brat. A bit of a brat.
Uh-huh.
And so then, when this came along, I said to myself, oh, yes, this is the Jay I know. And I really, and I kind of, you know, I refer to that period as the golden age of television, really.
The period when I lost The Tonight Show.
Yes.
that brief week and a half period for you
was
is the golden age of broadcasting.
Yes, that's right. But it has nothing to do with you.
Then I'm contented.
Well, that's pretty cool that he was on there after all this time. That was
What's awesome is that Leno, and it's you can ask any comedian that has dealt with him in any form. He's always been that way. He's always been the asshole, the brat, the guy that doesn't really go out of his way to make your life miserable, but will backstab you.
Right.
You know, and it's amazing that he's lasted this long without more people talking about how much of a scumbag he is.
You know, Andy Richter was on Howard this week. I don't know if
yes.
you got to hear that. No. But they talked a lot about Jay on there.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty funny.
Well, Jay has been just shamelessly has stolen from Howard and in more ways than one. Yeah, it's just he's such an asshole. I can't even have him on without having that soured stomach feeling.
Dude, I turn him off immediately. It is never on my TV.
I never turn him on either.
If it happens to be like the news ends or something, if it happens to be on NBC, I'll be like, darn it!
Yeah, I can't. I have such a reaction, such a visceral reaction to his face. Like, ugh.
Yeah, when he comes on the screen during that Johnny Carson documentary.
Voice, yeah.
When he comes on the screen, I'm just like, ugh.
in the late 80s, early 90s, he had the headline books. It was before it became a gag on his show, he did these books called Headlines. And I thought they were hilarious. My friend Josh and I would read them in the bookstore crying with laughter. And I had them, and I still have them. And I was downstairs the other day cleaning up, and I came across them. And I just was like, ugh. And I threw him in the garbage pile.
What?
Like, I can't take him anymore. Yeah, they're collector's items. No, you know what I did keep, though, were my Sniglets books.
Hell yes.
They're important.
Yeah.
Because they're shaped exactly the same. I don't know what it was about the late 80s, early 90s with these books that were longer than they were tall.
Yeah. They're not really books. They're just kind of fun.
Yeah.
I know I don't remember a lot of Sniglets. We've talked about it before on the show. And I even remember one time Antibert, oh, actually, I have a Sniglet story. And it's like, oh, Jesus.
He had a story for everything.
But I'll never forget.
Oh, my Twinkie. Twinkle, no, Twinkle.
The Cheeto dust, the Sniglet for that is Cheetle. I always remember
Cheetle.
Cheetle.
Rich Hall can still make me laugh.
Yeah.
He spends most of his time in the UK now.
That poor schlub.
I mean, he's still relatively popular over there.
En français?
Yeah, I thought he moved to France because
he lives in France, but I know he's still pretty popular in the UK.
Yeah,
he
hates being the sneaker that's being brought up to him.
Right, that's what Anderbert told us.
That's right.
Qui occupe le fromage?
So that might be a complete lie.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's take a break and we'll be right back. What do you guys say? Wouldn't that be awesome?
Let's take a break.
I've got eight.
Off in the distance, the game's dragging on. There's strikes on the batter, some runners are on. Then suddenly everyone's looking at me. My mind has been wondering, what could it be? They point to the sky and I look up above, and a baseball falls into my glove. I play right field. It's important you know, you gotta know how to catch, you gotta know how to throw. That's why I play in right field, way out where the dandelions grow.
At Pizza Hut, there's always a place for a good right fielder. You'll love the stuff we're made of.
Well, naturally, we were just kids when we saw Star Wars. And now Pebbles loves it. It's such an incredible movie. Yabba dabba doo.
Don't you wish everything fit nicely?
Like jeans do.
Don't you wish everything fit as well as Lee jeans fit on you?
Don't you wish everything felt as good?
Don't you wish everything only could?
Don't you wish everything fit?
Lee, the brand that fits.
We get a kick out of legs and it shows. From our heads to our toes, our legs pantyhose make us feel great each step we take.
Threads are thin, muffler's gone.
Well, come on in. There's more for your life at Sears.
Where else could you change your tires? Take your reins, smooth out your ride and catch the game.
There's more for your life, for the times of your life. There's more for your life at Sears.
Thursday.
She's not innocent.
A rebellious beauty with dangerous friends has Magnum racing to save her life. And...
Freeze! Freeze! How do you say freeze in Chinese?
Foreign spies got Simon and Simon into a scheme of murder. Then on Nuts Landing...
You should unfreeze your assets and let Lotus Point go through.
Jerry makes a costly decision Thursday.
Hey, a whole week without women.
Yeah. No responsibility.
I think I'll grow a beard.
You think we'll survive?
It'll be tough.
Hey,
no dishes to wash.
Fishing all day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, cards all night.
Oh, man, I feel lucky.
Yeah. Hi, honey. You miss me?
Reach up and touch someone.
Hurry up, will you? I want to call, too.
When you can call anywhere you want, anytime you want, that's reach out and touch someone. That's AT&T.
For the price of a Commodore 64, here's what you get from Apple, from IBM. For what it costs to add a Commodore disk drive, Apple, IBM. Add a Commodore printer, Apple, IBM, the PC Junior. Add a Commodore modem, and now you can get an Apple IIe or an IBM PC Junior with three games. Is it any wonder Commodore sells more computers than Apple and IBM combined?
People think I'm a tough guy. Maybe. But I'm not stupid. I wear the right gear. And I'm careful out there.
I take care of myself out here, too. Because on this field, things happen even faster. You've got to protect yourself. Never drink when you ride. Think safety. You never know what you're going to run into.
Winners ride safely. An important reminder from Honda.
United Airlines to Hong Kong and to Tokyo. Fly a friend to the Far East.
Are reading, writing, and religion the new three R's? Is a crook using your credit card? And when he talks, should we listen? Watch 60 Minutes this evening on CBS.
Coors Fresh, Coors Cold. Refreshing Coors Cold Gold. It's Coors to you. The best of the Rockies is yours.
What if that apple a day doesn't keep the doctor away? Will your health insurance really help? Or will medical care costs eat it up too fast? If you want a free review of all your coverage needs, check with State Farm. To find out how healthy your health insurance really is, see a State Farm agent now.
Your State Farm agent is Jim Stewart in Monterey and Vern Williams in Pacific Grove. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Sugar Ray Leonard, and Devin Storrs asked me to talk to you military and civil service personnel. Sort of like one fighting man talking to another, because Devin is fighting to bring you all the things you and your family want. Devin cares enough about this fight to bring you quality merchandise and a way to pay for it that you can handle real easy. There are over 100 Devin stores, so stop by the one nearest your base today.
Here's Ronald McDonald.
It's a good time for fun with McNuggets.
That's us!
How do McNuggets visit outer space?
In flying saucers.
If Chicken McNuggets played music, what would it be?
Chunk rock. It's a good time for the great taste of McDonald's McNuggets.
We are Pepsi free, caffeine free.
I've got some good reasons for giving my family caffeine free Pepsi free. You're looking at two of them.
We are Pepsi free.
When Mom bought this caffeine free cola, I said, no way. Then I tasted it.
We are Pepsi free.
Pepsi free's got great taste. Who needs anything else?
And all that taste is caffeine free.
Just taste it.
We are Pepsi free.
Regular and diet.
I'm Sally Weidlich of Monterey Savings. If the latest tonsorial fashions interest you, or you enjoy Terpsichorean talents, then we have a great evening's entertainment for you. Phone Monterey Dance Workshop, 649-0698, for details of their September 30th show, featuring the newest hair fashions and the Monterey Hot Review Dance Company. Showtime is 8 p.m. at Monterey's Doubletree Inn. We're Monterey Savings, part of the statewide family of Coast Savings and Loan Association.
It was good to see you, man.
Fuzzy, I still can't believe that was you.
Working in a bank?
15 years ago.
Used to keep your money in an old coffee can. Yeah, well, last I heard of you, you were moving to New Mexico to live in a cave.
Oh, that cave was cold.
Whether you live out of town or just a few minutes away.
There's so much left to say.
Things sure turned out different.
You complaining?
Just making a point.
Don't drift away.
It's Tom Clark delivering at 928. It's a 727 over the Golden Gate. It's Bill Flynn coming through when time can't wait. It's UPS Next Day Air, and that means getting it there. Getting it there for American industry with early morning delivery, speed, economy. It's Jim Wilson getting jets on their way. It's the UPS system working night and day. It's UPS Next Day Air, and that means getting it there.
When arthritis pain says you can't, and Capron's Micrograins of Arthritis Medicine let you say,
I can't.
can.
Introducing Encaprin, a better way to treat arthritis pain than plain or buffered aspirin. Because its hundreds of aspirin micrograins are made to deliver unsurpassed relief to minor arthritis pain in a way that's safer for your stomach than plain or buffered aspirin. So when arthritis says you can't, new Encaprin lets you say,
I can.
Encaprin micrograins go to work in a remarkable way. They're made to pass through your stomach without dissolving, so they're safer than even buffered aspirin. And when they leave your stomach, they provide hours of relief to minor arthritis pain in your shoulder, your hand, wherever it hurts. When arthritis says you can't, new Encaprin lets you say,
I can.
When arthritis pain says you can't, remember, Encaprin lets you say,
I can.
I can.
I can.
Kellogg's Product 19 cereal. More vitamin nutrition than any other cereal. But you'd never guess, because Product 19 vitamins are flaky, bumpy, crispy, crunchy, and taste oh so good. Product 19 goodness comes from corn, oats, wheat, and rice. Delicious Kellogg's Product 19 cereal. Flaky, bumpy, crispy, crunchy.
I can't calm down. You calm down. Oh, my God.
All right. We're back. And Steve and I were just talking about sound settings the entire time, Bill.
Oh, wow. What did you deduce?
No, just that we can't go on much longer like this.
Oh, okay.
It's driving us crazy. But, you know, the one thing I was pleased about last week's show sounded great.
Yeah, he goes, has it changed at all? I'm like, sounds identical to last week.
Dude, I had like a friggin' migraine yesterday after messing with the sound for so long. And I was just like, yeah, it's better. It's better. Just stop, Jason. And so I was done. And then, you know, you sign on today, and I'm like, oh, I got the headset on. I'm messing with it. I'm like, it sounds exactly the same. I swear it's a little bit better. Just a little.
Have you taken your placebo?
A sugar pill, yes. Yes, I have. Now, guys, I hate to – we don't have a lot of shows to talk about. Yes, we could be talking about Game of Thrones if I was caught up on that show. Yes, we could be talking about Mad Men, but Steven doesn't watch it. Bill, you're not current on Mad Men, are you?
No, I'm not.
Can't talk about – but we can talk about The Bachelorette.
Wait.
Wipe
neither
out.
Steven or I watch that.
It's okay. It was the first episode. You guys can
Damn
catch
it.
Up.
You don't have to watch it. You just you have to listen to Jason talk about it.
Okay.
Okay, the woman, very lovely woman, she was engaged to marry this guy, I guess, and he died in a plane crash. He was a race car driver.
Oh my God.
A couple of days later.
So why not go on national television?
A couple of days later, she finds out she's pregnant with this dead guy's baby, and she's now a single mother looking for love.
Is it a dead baby?
No.
Oh.
He wasn't carrying the baby.
Well, you never know.
So she's a single mother looking for love, and she was on The Bachelor, and that guy dumped her
because
he's a dick. But now she's on this show. And this is why I'm covering The Bachelorette now. I won't cover it later, but this is when it's the best, when she meets all the guys and they're just total
the
dorks.
It like would be better if you covered it while giving me a now and later.
Yes. What?
Have you ever had a now and later candy?
Yes, I love that. Eat some now, save some for later.
Yes.
Stick it under your desk like gum and save it for later. There's a guy who dresses up. You know, okay, she stands there in the front of this mansion, and the limo pulls up, and guys get out, and they're like, hi, nice to meet you. I'm Brad, and I'm Studley. And she's like, oh, nice to meet you. And he walks by. This guy walks up with a cane, like an old lady. He's like, hello? Hi. I really like you. And she's like, hi. And he's like, I want you to meet somebody. And whips off the wig and the dress, and he's like, hi, nice to meet you. And she's like, hi. And he's like, hey. And walks by, and I was like, what the hell?
Guards!
There's another guy. He's like, I'm a professor. I want to see if we have any chemistry together. And it's like, wow. There's
he's
another guy. He's got
on
a
that
giant.
One for a while.
He's got a giant ostrich egg, and he goes, "I want to show you that I could be a great father or something, and I won't let
your
anything
dead
happen."
Your dead baby's in here.
It's just so stupid. But the best part is when this rich guy, he's like, "Yeah, I made my first million when I was 21 or something," and he flies in on a helicopter. And they're like, oh, who's this douche? You know, the guy lands in
a... Of course, the successful guy is automatically the douche.
Yeah, they all give him a hard time. And you know what's so funny is when you sit down and talk to... you do this little cocktail party where the guys go, hi, I'd like to sit down and talk to you. And if another guy comes up and he says, may I sit here, get the hell out of the way, you're supposed to be gracious and go, all right, it's your turn. But it's funny, the guy goes, would you mind if I cut in here? And he goes, yeah, I would.
Wow.
And they're like, oh, the rich helicopter guy, he's a dick. He was, like, giving him attitude. So let's go ahead and check this out. But there's a guy on here who races cars. And he...
Oh, no.
He wants to have a talk with her to make sure it's cool that he races cars because, you know, you're the guy you love died and he's a race car driver. So is that cool with you or whatever?
But I fly in planes, too.
Yeah, just don't fly in an airplane. I think what it was is he was...
Every once in a while, I conduct trains.
He had his race car in the airplane, and he tried to fly it. And it just wasn't smart. All right, let's check this out, guys.
He tried to fly the plane from the car.
Yeah, he tried to drive the race car out of the plane and just...
What a dummy.
He didn't do that. Okay, wait.
This is for my kid, baby.
There's Sorry. Another thing. What? The lady is so gracious and nice. Yeah, she seems like a sweet person. I don't know why she's
she
on television.
She seems like an attractive young lady.
Why do they go on TV? I don't know.
Money?
I would want to be the bachelor on the show, but be a total, like, like creepy guy. Like, oh, you look so tense. And they're like, oh, yeah. You know, I just want to put up with this because you're the bachelor and I want to marry you. It's like, that well, you're hurting great. Me.
You're so tense.
Mother.
Where's Ashley? Where'd she go?
Show.
Oh, she had to leave. And it's like, oh, my God. It turns out she's murdered and stuffed in a hamper.
I can't believe it. You just came up with it. That is the show I would watch. Creepy Bachelor. And you see whoever is last, whichever woman stays the
least
longest,
creepy.
Wins. Gets like $1 million or something.
And people are like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, like, I mean, like... You get kind of like rapey and strange.
Rapey.
Like she wakes up in bed and you're in there naked. Hey,
yeah.
Remember last night? No, I don't. What happened? I'll never tell.
The rapey will never let you know.
And then he even starts shit with the other women. He's like, well, Betty, you know, you seem really nice, but I don't know. The other girls, what they've been saying about you. What did they say? Oh, just they called you a whore, but, you know, it's none of my business. And then you leave, and she's like, which one of you bitches? And you just
they
start
shit.
They said
when you were a teenager, you had sex with your dog.
Just how many abortions have you had? They said it was about 6, right? What? Oh, my God. That's it. Creepy Bachelor. We totally got to make this show. It'd be unfortunate for you to get kicked off the show if you don't do what I want you to do. If you know
yeah,
what
exactly.
I mean. What? I don't feel comfortable. How do you feel about nudity in public places? I don't feel comfortable with this. Well, it's unfortunate. You may not get a rose tonight.
How do you feel about sex?
How do you feel about sex? You're not a prude, are you? I would hate for you to be a prude. Oh, I don't know what to do.
I always like my dates to give me oral before we have our
It turns out he means, like, just for her to speak publicly or on his behalf.
Yeah.
What were you
an
thinking, you poor lady?
Presentation.
Yeah, totally out of context.
Yeah, he just messes with your mind.
Oh, that would be freaking fantastic.
And it's got to a point where she's trying to warn people about him. But they know. He's a nice guy. How dare you? All right, guys, let's check this out.
I really think there's some important things we need to talk about. You know, know. Emily's ex-fiance was also a race car driver, and he passed away on the way to a race.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Nice
to meet you, too.
My name is Aaron. I'm a high school biology teacher, but I'm here to have chemistry with you.
Hit it.
Listen what this guy is.
Work it. Hi, Club.
I just wanted to make you smile.
Are you a dancer?
I'm a dancer, MC, awesome. Entertainer.
I like to dance, but I'm not that good, so maybe you can teach me.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, he's a disco DJ.
You look amazing.
Thank you.
The name's Charming. Charming.
So nice to meet you.
And I'm looking for my princess. I believe in fairy tales.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in love.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that if the
and
shoe
I
fits,
am a fairy.
Then happily ever after. So would you mind?
Sure. Sure.
Oh, you look so beautiful.
She's an old lady.
I'm your biggest fan.
Well, thank you so much.
Yes. That's
your all your episodes.
How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
I wanted you to meet somebody that I think would be.
Yeah?
Yes.
Who's that? Well, I agree. Thank
Hi.
You, Grandma.
How you doing? Hello. Sorry, Robin. I just thought I'd be grandma, you know.
Very creative.
Yeah, very
you stuck out my mom.
Okay, I appreciate
Hi,
that.
I'm Chaz.
Right.
Nice
I'm sorry, I didn't even say that.
Emily,
Emily
nice to
very
meet you.
Pleasure.
Nice
so
to meet
much.
You.
Thank you.
Very creative.
All right.
I'm Next.
Travis. Emily.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Next. Wouldn't that be great? She just so eliminated him on the way in.
Egg?
And no.
This egg is a symbol of two beautiful people. Throughout this journey, I will take care of this egg
testicle?
Like I would take care of you and Ricky.
This is my tumor.
You are so
removed.
I almost got
no,
rid of an apple.
I got it. I'm letting it go. I am not letting
You're
it go.
Good. Okay.
What's going on?
There's a
the symbol of our blood
man.
Sacrifice and love.
Seriously, dude, if somebody comes out from that, like it's the last dude, like it's over.
No way.
This is insane.
Honestly, who could
this be? Stringfellow Hawk.
It's Blue Thunder.
Whatever this is, we're all going to hate him.
Hi, Emily.
Hi.
Sorry I'm late.
Sup,
well,
I'm rich.
Thank you for being here.
I'm Kaylin.
Golly, that was impressive.
Your dress is gorgeous.
Golly.
Thank you so much. Well, that was very impressive.
What was
you
that?
Well,
I got to do what I can to keep up with you. You're absolutely gorgeous.
Well, thank you. I'm very glad you're here.
I'm sorry if I made you wait a few minutes for me, but
really
I promise it's worth it.
Thank you so much. I'll look for you inside.
Perfect. Thank you.
Sounds good.
So nice to meet you.
I'm the creepy bachelor. Show me your breasts.
Helicopter guy is talking. Helicopter guy. He's basically out there talking to her. And then Sean came in and he asked if he could get some time with her. And the guy just like, no. He asked if you mind, like in a nice manner. Oh, yeah, I definitely mind. Like, seriously. There he is right now.
Guys, talking about me again?
Absolutely.
Why aren't you talking about Emily? Why are you talking about me?
You can't let somebody else get some actual time with her. Actually, nicely, he's like, hey,
oh, yeah,
do you mind if you get some time?
And
he's
like,
I do
and,
mind.
And I...
Absolutely.
I said so. I mean, I said, of course I mind. Who wouldn't mind? I mean, I'm here for her.
Really?
Should I just hand it her over?
Why not? You had
I'm
enough time,
for,
time with her.
I'm
yeah,
here
absolutely.
For her.
Let everybody.
Why he's so hostile? I mean, you all get a chance with her.
A rescue helicopter has crashed.
Hey.
Oh.
Bitches, she's wishing that helicopter was a rescue helicopter.
Just what the creepy bachelor, when the woman walks up, he's like, oh, B cup. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm so insecure now.
You're a little small for me.
But okay, I guess I'll keep you around at least for this week.
But your ass looks tight.
Like sleazeball.
Yeah.
All right, guys, this
I
week
I
want to on...
watch that show, damn it.
Totally want to watch it. All right, Bill, Dream Machines had Peter Berg on it.
I watched it today.
You did?
Yeah, when I set it on my DVR finally, and when I got home after I did a little gardening, I relaxed with a nice tall glass of blueberry lemonade.
Nice.
And relaxed with some Dream Machines.
So what did you think of the finished car?
I thought it was a disaster. I thought it was a horrendous disaster.
You thought it was a horrendous design?
Yeah, it's just bad. Like, I mean, they're trying to... I understand they're limited in what they can do. But when I see that Ripper thing and how it has so many moving parts, they needed to do multiple tracks that moved in different directions.
Oh, you mean like even go more extreme?
Yeah, and if they were going to, they should have put those front tires behind it so that you they weren't as
Like it was trailing?
There.
Yeah, yeah, that would have been cool. That would have been interesting.
Like the tail, trailing it, not not like, bam, here's these two little rippers in front with this gigantic arch connecting it. No, it was just, I was a little unimpressed. I thought I was waiting for, I was waiting to be shocked and surprised.
I thought it was like the treads and stuff. That was pretty neat how they put the rubber tread on there and whatever.
That I was impressed by that. There was a lot of the stuff that I was impressed with, but I was also very impressed with how they created drama for the show. Oh my God, we're out of Garnet. How are we going to cut these?
Well, what about, it was hilarious how disheveled Peter Berg looked when they met him.
I swear he just got back from a Coke binge.
He looked like he hadn't slept for days.
Yeah.
I could picture him in an editing bay. Yeah, his hair was all messed up and stuff.
That's
probably
exactly what it was.
Yeah, let's go ahead and check this out when Peter Berg calls
him. He had just like maybe driven there in a convertible and then kind of swept his hair back with his hand.
Yeah,
it looked like he just rolled out of bed.
He looked like a disaster, but it was funny. Let's check this out.
Hi, this is Peter Berg. I'm looking for the Parker Brothers.
You got him. You got him. We got a really strange call
Milton
from Peter Berg
here,
director of Friday Night Lights and big action movies like Hancock.
Well, I'll tell you what. You want a job? Hancock. You want a big job? I need you out in L.A. now. Can you do that?
Yeah, I
also
guess.
Star of the movie
what
Shocker.
Kind of job?
This is classified. For now, we keep this to ourselves, obviously. Get your butts out here.
Do you really think he'd do that? Like, no information? No.
He hung up.
Let's see how fast
it feels kind of weird getting phone calls from people like Peter Berg. We're small town. You know, we're
Walter
in this little town in Melbourne, population like six
we're
people.
Busy.
All of a sudden, we get a phone call from Hollywood saying, hey, we heard about you guys. Come see
it's
us.
It's from Hollywood.
Guess we're going to L.A.
We've got Gulager on line
Ever
three.
Ever since Shane and I started Berger Brothers,
we knew we
wanted to be involved in the movie or the television industry, building the vehicles for the movies or for the TV shows. That's the kind of stuff we're into. And being here in L.A., it just feels like it's all starting to come around. Sitting here in Peter Berg's office, this is our shot. If I said that I wasn't scared to death right now, I'd be lying.
Are these the guys?
We're finally getting to sit in the big
chair
and
guys?
Get an opportunity to show what we can really do.
These chuckleheads.
Welcome to California.
Thank you.
You guys get in all right?
Yeah. Yes, we did.
I bet you're wondering why the hell I called you, and I bet you're wondering why the hell you're here.
Absolutely. Very much so.
I need something big.
I need you to
Parker
kill
Brothers caught my attention as being these two young guys, up-and-comers, who are looking to make a name for themselves, building dreams. The name of the movie is Battleship, based on the Hasbro game Battleship. We're a big movie. No one's seen it. It's critical that you guys go into lockdown with this. I'm trusting that you guys are going to keep this stuff quiet.
Oh, absolutely.
We'll just leave it at that.
We appreciate the opportunity. Yeah. We don't know what he wants us to do, but it's Peter Berg, so I don't care what he asks for. He's going
to
get it.
I want you guys to build a shredder.
All right.
And I'll show you a little bit of that right now.
Okay.
In Battleship, we've got shredders. They're like Tasmanian devils, you know?
Yeah.
They can just demolish anything that gets in the way.
Yeah.
Tons of parts on
Shredder be ripping right up through the hull of the ship. And then...
See, I would have done a regular carbo, but just put shredder tires on it.
There you go.
They're very powerful, about 20'9" and they're
big
multiple million parts, very sharp, very vicious, very aggressive. Basically, ball of chaos. All right, there you go.
That is intense.
That's awesome.
The
it reminds
shredder
me of
is
something from Transformers, Peter.
Big,
get the hell
mean,
out
it's
of here.
Badass. So we can make something for you based on that. Is that what you're saying?
I want a car that is the shredder.
Mm-hmm.
And as of now, that shredder only
exists.
What if you
have a chicken sound system?
You guys, for me, are an opportunity to say, well, you know what? We're real. The shredders came out of, you know, my mind and the
Don't
mind of the designers
me,
at ILM. And until this
awesome.
Point, has only existed in the world of computers. So the thought that these guys could actually help take it out of the world of the computers and put it on the street. Very appealing to me. But something people can see and touch and feel and experience, it's just a tremendous help for our movie franchise.
Perfect. So that kind of gives us a little bit of creative license to go way over the top with it.
Intensity is the key thing.
Absolutely.
And just look vicious.
Okay.
I think vicious is a good word.
So basically you want us to scare small children.
Terrify.
Absolutely.
Terrify children. Mothers screaming, our cars peeling away. I'll be surrounded by SWAT vehicles. Now I want to say, hey, dude, that's legal.
They should have put that in the movie. So how cool was that, Bill?
I thought that they were going to come up with a large Asian man in metal armor.
Wait a second. What's Buddy Velastro doing here? Yes, buddy, I want a shredder, ripper cake. Oh, okay. We'll put some fondant. What else?
Fondant.
Some modeling chocolate.
Just set it on fire.
One thing that I think is cool about this show, it's not any of the bickering and all that stupidity, but I love the idea of being able to just make whatever you can think of. I'd be Absolutely. Coming up with ridiculous vehicles all the time. Wouldn't you?
Obviously, they're heavily influenced by, sci-fi and comics, because the one guy, I was shocked. I was like, holy crap, his entire collection is in his office.
Yeah, it's all display on the wall. And
you don't even need to paint the walls, just hang comics on them.
And then that stupid moment where they're like, let's turn all of his comics the other way.
Yeah, he's getting a little too involved with this build. Let's give him something to do.
I don't know why I made this other clip. It's an example of how they just argue about stupid things. Like, he wanted holes in the tread, but the other brother didn't.
Yeah, I didn't quite get why he wanted holes.
Because it looks cool. But did you notice there at the end there were holes in it, so he got his way?
Yeah.
I don't know why. Let's go.
Yeah, they never referenced it again.
Yeah. I made the clip, so let's play it. What the hell?
The tread design for the shredder, it's really important to me. I want to put holes in the treads for the shredder because it has to match the scales. If it doesn't, it's going to look like a big tire in the middle and scales on the side. This thing has to flow. It has to look like one big, massive concept. And if it doesn't work that way, it's just not going to look right.
Shannon wants a design that's pretty. I want a design that's functional. He's not going to win this one. It's just a no.
I thought we were cutting holes out of him. Oh, does it do it after the fact?
He's saying that it'll tear the rubber to shreds.
Because the last one he built, it tore it to shreds when he did that?
I have no
idea. These guys are good old boys.
Which Parker wins?
No holes. I need the surface area. For these things to be able to bond to that metal, I don't need flimsy spots.
It's not flimsy.
Listen to me. You do your part, I'm doing mine. We're not putting the holes in there.
I can't do my part because you're asking me not to do my part.
Do the center pieces however you want to.
I'm trying to.
This is pretty tense.
And when this turns, all that process on the outside tread, all that that you're cutting out, I need.
They got to figure this out. They need to get to Peter Berg on time.
I can't put the holes in them. Don't put the holes in them.
Nothing's going to stop me from making this thing really awesome.
Go ahead, put the holes in. No holes. I'm serious.
As Elsa wants to complain, I'm still moving forward.
We're not changing holes. We're not putting holes in them at all. Leave them alone. Fine. Seriously, I'm not playing around with this. No holes.
All right. Wait till he goes to lunch and just cut the damn hole.
I thought that was right. Just wait till he goes to lunch and do it. I wouldn't want to be one of the employees there. Like, dude, I'm not picking sides, man.
Exactly.
I wonder how much those guys get paid to work there, because they got some pretty high-tech shit there. You know?
Some seriously high-tech shit, yeah.
And there's, like, the guys are such rednecks working there. What about that? Did you notice there's one little tiny
There's a midget
guy?
Dude.
Yeah. And he's got, like, crazy eyes looking in different directions.
Yeah, I was watching. Crazy eyes. My dad's in the kitchen, and he goes, is that one of them new midget shows?
Oh, my God.
I was like, Dad, I wish it was.
I wish it was. It would be badass.
Because I'm always watching, like, Little People, Big World, or The Little Couple, and all. I love those shows. And he's
little midget swirling inside there.
He just honestly asked.
Dude, how cool would it have been if they made, like, a little version of the
like, Little Monster Garage?
Yeah. And then put that little guy inside the little shredder.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Me totally sweet. All right, that's a silly show. On Celebrity,
not nearly as good as Creepy Bachelor.
No, what's the difference between Dream Machines and Monster Man? It's the same show, but nothing. Or even Cake Boss. It's just some guy who does a trade that there's tension and then reveals it at the end, and the person is pleased, right?
Exactly. You know, that's the basic recipe.
I was a little alarmed at Peter Berg driving it in a crowd of people, though.
Yeah, it looked like he was getting a little close to the guardrails.
And
that's what one of the brothers said, too. He said, man, you got a little close over there.
It was funny. The one guy goes, these can't be sharp. It's a hazard. And I was like, oh, come on. That's what Peter Berg wants.
Yeah, I like the one guy going, it's supposed to be vicious.
It's like you're not supposed to cut yourself trying to get in the vehicle.
It needs to be a grinder, a meat grinder.
All right, let's talk about Celebrity Apprentice. Oh, and by the way, if they have those in Battleship, I want to see a guy get ripped to pieces by one. Do they show that?
No.
Just blood everywhere and guts?
Nope.
No?
But they're like sentient creatures, or they're remote controlled.
Well,
I don't know.
If I couldn't show it happen to a human, I would have had it run over an alien on accident and then show that torn to pieces. Do they show that?
No.
Oh, man.
No, they just – the big scene is it just ripping through a shipyard where, like, all the helicopters and everything are, and then ripping through the destroyer and stuff like that. So they're only used twice in the movie.
Is there any moment in the movie where you hear
– Yes.
Nice.
Yes, there is.
Just like – You can feel your heart shaking inside your chest.
There's some really good bass in it. They use artillery shells a bunch of moments.
That's one thing you can say about even bad action movies. They're like, great sound design.
Yeah.
You know? What was that?
And it's got, and the special effects are really good, too.
Nice. ILM, baby. Mm-hmm. All right. Celebrity Apprentice. It's the last people are Arsenio and Clay Aiken.
I would have never believed you if you would have told me that. It just, wow.
I thought Lisa Lampanelli was a bitch, but I thought for sure she'd be a finalist. I even thought that Aubrey chick might be one, but no, he gets rid of him pretty fast. And I would be like, why did I work so hard to get here? If you just pick on a whim, you know, I want to see Arsenio versus Clay. It'll be a battle royale, you know? It's like, no, it won't. But there's this part here where they send Adam Carolla to a costume shop, and he's really creeped out by this guy has a bunch of dildos on the shelf. And he's wondering, why do you have those in a costume shop?
In a costume shop.
And there's one bit where they're doing some kind of celebrity carnival or something. I don't know.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
But they want to paint the walls, and Clay's like, no, we don't have time to paint the walls. And so Debbie Gibson says, I know a professional person in my family is a professional mural painter. They paint murals for a living. Okay? You should be really impressed by that. He's like, no, I want to see sketches first. So she's like, well, you know, she's got a busy life and she's going to fly all the way here and bring her friends. And she's really doing a lot of stuff just to help you. And he's like, I don't care. He's kind of a dick about it. But the best part is Adam Carolla says he can help Arsenio make this video where, you know, it's kind of one of those, hey, you do this thing for kids and it's all charitable and whatever. And he goes, take it away, Magic. And he throws the basketball off screen, and Magic Johnson's supposed to catch it in California and then say, talk about his charity, about AIDS and all that stuff. Well,
I've got AIDS. I'm riddled with it.
That's not what he says.
Oh.
I've got full-blown AIDS.
I've contracted AIDS.
Oh, stop it. No, but what's funny, Bill, this is hilarious. I was crying because this is so funny. Okay,
I was with unclean women.
Sorry. Okay, Bill, listen to this. They make the video, and all they need is that Magic Johnson footage, right?
Yeah.
And Adam Carolla says, these guys do my podcast. They don't work in video, but they're going to help me out. They drove out to his house in Malibu or whatever, and they filmed it. And Adam Carolla says they throw Arsenio throws the basketball kind of left to the left. So make sure he gets it left side, They're like, right, got it. So they finally get the footage, and Magic Johnson says he catches the ball on camera, looking head on. He goes, thanks, Arsenio. And then he turns to the right and faces away from the camera and does the whole spiel. And they're like looking at it. So picture, they're looking at the screen. Magic Johnson's looking to the left of the screen, like looking left, facing left, not even facing the camera. He goes, I'd like to tell you about the Magic Johnson Foundation. And he's talking about, and Arsenio's like, what? What is he doing? Why is he looking that direction?
Is there a camera over there?
No.
Yeah. It's so funny. He's not even looking at the camera. He's looking, because when they did the whole, the basketball comes from the left side of the screen. It threw him off and it confused the shit out of him. So they just have Magic Johnson looking the wrong way. So the whole video is, they don't know what to do. And Arsene is like, I don't know how we can save this. But I figured out what they could do immediately, which is he catches the ball head on looking at the camera. He goes, thanks, Arsenio. And then he turns. What you do there is just cut to him just doing voiceover and then that footage of whatever.
Yeah. People with AIDS.
People with AIDS. Yes.
Liam Neeson.
But it's so funny when they're waiting, they're anticipating this footage the whole show. And finally, when they get it and it's messed up, it's so funny. It's hilarious. It's really funny.
I bet Adam Carolla told him to do that on purpose.
Oh, he had to have. I guarantee you they're going to do my suggestion on the next episode. We're like, we'll just do it as voiceover and show footage of
AIDS.
AIDS. Footage of AIDS? How do you do that? What does AIDS look like? It's like a cartoon of antibodies, like Jurassic Park or something. Exactly. What the hell am I talking about? All right, guys, let's check this out.
Oh my God, look at this.
Teresa and I decided to take off and pick up some 80s costumes, and we left the other guys behind in the war room.
How you doing?
I'm Adam.
Adam, how you doing?
I'm Teresa.
Hi, how are you?
Nice to meet you.
Anything we can help you with?
We needed costumes to make our little 30-second public service announcement come to life.
I'm going to show you something.
Oh, this is your office?
Yeah, I just want to take all my conjugal visits right here.
Sure.
All right, can you open that?
Yeah.
The guy ran a place much creepier than any of the severed heads he had hanging in the window. What is that? There's a giant penis up there. I'm so curious why you have a huge penis up there.
It was a work of art. I got this one.
I'm trying to get him behind bars, and he won't go in there.
I'm not going.
Because you see that.
In his office was some peni. Penises. Pretty sure it's peni. I was thoroughly creeped out.
Yeah, look at these things.
I don't want to paint the whole room.
They should have sent clay there.
All we need to really do is get Dirty Dog deep. Listen, we all have to call five people that we know. Five people could paint that wall in 30 minutes. So you call five people, you call five people, I call people. We'll get this done in an hour.
Wait. There's no way we're going to paint the whole room. There's no reason to bring five people in. There's no point in calling in people to paint these walls. It's just a disaster waiting to happen. We'll all be a mess. We'll have half a wall not painted, and we'll look a mess.
I felt disrespected when Clay tried checking me. I said tried because nobody checks me. I do certain things really well. And when you ask me to do them, I'm going to do them to their fullest potential, and I don't want to be questioned. If you ask me to do something, I will execute it better than you could have ever dreamed of. Let me execute my vision.
She's calling everyone on her team. That's what she does. She paints murals.
And she's a mural artist.
Right. Aubrey had a vision of painting the walls. And it dawns on me, I have a mural painter in my family, my cousin Christine. So I decided to ask her if she would be able to come to the table and paint a 77-foot wall in a matter of hours on a day's notice. So I put in a call to my cousin Christine, who's a decorative mural painter, to check on the status of the sketch of what's going to go up on the wall for our carnival-themed event. It is coming together, but it's taking a little longer than she expected.
I'm responsible for this room, and I've got to make sure I believe in everyone's ability to do something. Obviously, I don't want something that looks like a child went up there with a crayon and just drew something. So paint will not go on the wall unless I've seen some sketches.
This is where real life and the show collide for me, because it's a family member that I asked to give up work this weekend and to move heaven and earth, and she's recruited about 15 people to do something really special.
So it's not like she handed it on Saturday.
But you also kind of put her in charge and said, make this space great.
You're right, I did. But I did say last night, verbatim, I want to see it before she commits to putting it up.
Debbie's arguments that her cousin really rearranged her schedule to be able to come here and do this for us. And while I absolutely appreciate that, I sort of don't care.
Wow. What a dick.
Them be the brakes.
Who's going to win Celebrity Apprentice, Steven?
Arsenio.
No matter who wins, we all lose.
You're probably right. Now, hey, did you guys watch Around the World in 80 Plates yet?
No. No.
This second episode was just as confusing as the first. But
so you still have no idea what it's about.
They go to France. And it's awesome because they're talking about how this is where food began. You know what they're talking about is like how this –
this is where French food began. Yeah,
food is an art and all that kind of stuff happened. There's this Asian chick who's like, wait a second. No, that's not where food began. You know, it's so funny that she doesn't get exactly what they're talking about.
Yeah.
But that guy last week,
she's automatically defensive that food started in China. Like, she starts telling people that spaghetti was made there, not in Italy.
It's just funny how, like, she doesn't get what they're talking about. Like, mm-hmm. This whole movement of food, the culinary arts
food
and all that.
Food is art form, yeah.
Yeah. And this week, the push comes to shove guy, he had some gold again.
Push comes to shove, you will be receiving both from me. I will push and shove you, and I will take that rug from under you, and you are going up in the air. You better make sure you got a kickstand.
Oh, my God. He has some great...
I'm still flabbergasted by that.
He does another one of those later, but he talks about how he is a fantastic palate. He knows about the arts of fromage and cheeses and wines. And just listening to him talk is hilarious. And everyone wants him to shut the hell up. And they say his name about a million times, like, Kevin did this and Kevin did that. And it's just go along with it. I don't understand any of the show and how it works. I don't understand it. But there's Genius. Some kind of weird French dish bill. See if you have ever heard of it that they have to make. And the team that didn't get the exceptional ingredient, they had to just go look for it somewhere and eat it at a restaurant and ask the server what was in it. Okay, let's check this out.
The newly assembled black team travels to Lyon in first class.
And we deserved it. We all deserved it.
My strategy was to assemble a team that was strong.
Wait a second. Did someone just say ballin'?
Well, it's the black team.
Oh.
The newly assembled black team travels to Lyon in first class.
I get it.
And we deserved it. We all deserved it.
My strategy was to assemble a team that was strong.
I love France. J'adore la France, les Français.
This is good.
Chaz has immunity because I didn't speak up when I had an opportunity. But this is a game of tactics. Chaz wants to be part of a winning team, regardless if he has immunity or not. And he knows he can count on me.
All the other chefs were like, this is where food started. And I'm thinking to myself, who's food? Asia and Africa got just a few more years on the western region of the world.
What the hell's wrong with this girl?
We were going to France, so all her vast knowledge of Thai cuisine, it's not going to be helpful at all.
Trust me, when we go to Thailand, I'll be like, and what?
She'll be hanging on your every word.
I'm not threatened by Sai because she only really knows how to do Thai food. I think she and I are pretty oil and water.
I studied fromage in Switzerland, and I actually made my own six-month, you know, aged cheeses.
Kevin says he's, you know, like the certified cheese guy, but Kevin says a lot of things.
It's not easy being cheesy.
All of a sudden, Kevin starts yelling, and the three sheep come out of the pen. How'd they get out?
They scooted out.
They had to herd
what?
Sheep. Is one
Kevin,
of their things.
You have one job to do.
What
the hell is wrong with you?
Kevin, that's strike three.
Jesus Christ, they're evil. Gary thought maybe if we speak to them in French, because they're French sheep, maybe that might help. And they were moving. So maybe they do speak French.
We finish before the red team. No thanks to Kevin.
Kevin jumps in right away. He obviously is a master sommelier as well as a complete cheesemonger. But for the cheese task, he was about as useful as a fart in a spacesuit.
Okay, guys, check it out.
I know my lines. I've got a great palate and a great sense of smell. I mean, look at this nose.
Yeah, Kevin is really talking too much. You can't formulate it, your own thought about how you feel about the wine.
You have two right.
What? Only two are right. Impossible. Absolutely impossible.
Each of your teams will be taking over two local restaurants. Each team must put out four plates of traditional Leonese cuisine. One of those must be a canal, an iconic dish of this city.
I know that canals
are very
fundamental foods.
This is the canal.
It's
kind of like a mousseline. It's poached and it's finished with a crawfish sauce.
You ever heard of that, Bill?
Sauce. Texture was like eating a piece of gefilte fish, but a really good piece.
Fish, eggs.
Someone writing this down.
And butter. And butter. All right.
I'm going to do everything I can to be on that good side with everybody. I don't want people to fear me. But when it comes time, I'm going to grab a hold of those reins. Because when you're falling off, you better believe my arm's right over you grabbing on those reins to be like,
"Oh, jeez." He's doing it again. God, how does his mind even put the shit together?
I know. I was like, yes, more gold from this guy.
Keep going.
Did you hear what he said about his palate? Just listen to this.
I know my wines. I've got a great palate, a great sense of smell. I mean, look at this nose.
Look at this nose.
Oh, I thought he said a voluminous nose.
Voluminous. He might say that.
Nose?
Just look at this nose. That's so funny.
He is such an incredible asshole.
What the Kevin?
Do you have that clip of what he said again? My head started hurting halfway through.
Yeah, check this out.
I'm going to do everything I can to be on that good side with everybody. I don't want people to fear me. But when it comes time, I'm going to grab a hold of those reins. Because when you're falling off, you better believe my arm's right over you grabbing on those reins to be like, "Whoa, I got this."
So you're
on a horse?
Yeah, is he talking like...
They're both falling off the horse?
He grabs the
reins. So he's going to reach over and grab them. And...
So are they riding the horse together?
I think so. And he'll lean over and grab you.
And push you off.
Yeah, he will. He'll knock your ass off.
I'm absolutely stunned how he comes up with this
stuff.
Does
the horse need a kickstand?
Does it sound amazing in his head?
When push comes to shove, you will be receiving both from me. I will push and shove you, and I will take that rug from under you. And you are going up in the air. You better make sure you got a kickstand. I'm going to do everything I can to be on that good side with everybody. I don't want people to fear me. But when it comes time, I'm going to grab a hold of those reins. Because when you're falling off, you better believe my arm's right over you grabbing on those reins to be like, "Whoa, I got this."
So when he's saying, "and when you're falling," he basically could have easily said, "and when push comes to shove," he could have said it again.
Yeah. It's like, I think he might be somewhat retarded. Like, yeah. It's just his mind is moving probably a million miles a minute and he can't quite put thoughts together. So he just
studied it out.
I love what I studied for homage.
Yeah, he made his own 6-month cheese.
Yeah, that's pretty exceptional, isn't it?
Qui a coupé le fromage?
Thank you, Freakazoid.
I love Freakazoid.
Or Krogan.
Krogan?
Who got the cheese?
You guys have got to watch this show. I'm telling you, it's like Top Chef, but there's no point to it at all.
Sounds, I mean, the show itself sounds like it's on methamphetamine.
It is. They never stop running and shit. And
They're running and shit.
They never stop running. They're always hurrying everywhere. And then when they have to do they take over a restaurant and then they cook or whatever, they're rushing again. And it's so funny that at the end, they always
have to, like, get some medicine before I can watch that. Yeah. Calm me down.
At the end, they always reward someone with they're the most exceptional person, I guess. And
you are the most exceptional person.
It's called something like that. But there's always somebody on the team who goes, well, they weren't that great, you know, because they couldn't have done that without me. Everyone is always like that.
Exceptional.
Because there's always Kevin who is always like bitching about stuff. But I love that.
You need to pull clips from Home Alone whenever Catherine O'Hara goes, Kevin!
Useful as a fart in a spacesuit.
Useful as a fart in a spacesuit. Mm-hmm. Never heard that one before.
Very evil, temperamental foods.
I think if you're in a spacesuit and you have to fart, it might actually be useful because it's relieving. And there's so many air filters that I don't think it'll smell.
La France, les Français.
That's true. You gotta just get rid of that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
None of them make any sense. I'm so confused by all of them.
It really is a confusing show. And I barely even saw Cat Cora in this episode.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh, fart.
All right, guys, you want to talk about the Fringe finale?
Curtis?
Fringe! The season finale of Fringe. Did you get to see it, Steven?
Yes, I did.
Bill, I know you watched it, right?
Yeah, so strange.
It's it all wrapped up. You know one thing I thought was funny, but then I didn't mind because I didn't want anything to be wrong with Astrid, is she kind of recovered pretty easily, didn't she?
It was fast for a chest shot.
Yeah, that's true.
They must have had a spare lung laying around.
It missed all the vital organs.
Yeah, she was fine. Like Bill, she had colloidal silver.
Yep, that's what it was.
Colloidal silver in her system. But it's all about how basically William Bell, he's going to collapse the universes, right? He's going to create this new universe with these weird creatures, winged beasts. And you know, one thing that was interesting is how he reveals that, because I thought he was going to live there, didn't you?
Right. Yeah.
But he says, I will die off and there will be no humans here. And it's like, what the hell is he doing? He's just kind of... whatever. And here
he's gone mad.
Yeah, totally. But there's this great moment here where he's talking to Walter and he explains everything, which I thought was pretty sweet. Let's check it out.
Why, William? Why would you do this? What can you possibly hope to gain by destroying both universes?
Walter, this was all your idea. Peter died twice. You hated God. What kind of God would cause so much suffering? That's what you said. So much pain. You decided to create a universe that would operate by your rules. And then, when you realized that you were smart enough to do it, you got scared. You asked me to cut out a portion of your brain.
No.
Yes, Walter. We cut those ideas out of your head to literally put the genie back into the bottle. Then I grew older. I grew cynical.
Don't we all?
I grew cancer. And I realized that dosing myself with cortexafam would slow it down.
They need to get slowing that stuff is not on stopping. The shelf, don't they?
For me, it's just a matter of time. The clock is ticking, tick, 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 tick. And that's when it occurred to me. You were right, Walter. Walter, you were right, right, right. Every rant you ever went on made perfect sense. Suddenly, I understood not just you, but everything. God made us in his image. If that is so, if we are capable of being gods, then it is our destiny to do so.
No. No, William.
My dear friend, even if you deny it now, you have always been playing God. I am.
Wow. So he's playing God, guys.
I used to do that to freak kids out at my Christian school when I went there. They would talk to me and they would go, how do you know that? I go, I am God. And they would look at me like I was insane.
They're like, ah, my God. He's probably one of those devil worshippers. It's like, yep. Oh, again with the devil worshipping. Come
symbols on. Symbols on the bottom of my car.
I love Fringe, guys. I really do.
It is so good.
And I love that moment where you know, basically Olivia finds out that she's collapsing the universes. It's her. And I loved her ability too. You know, when the chick captures the Observer, September, because he's on stasis runes. Stasis rune? What the hell was that?
They've obviously learned a lot. Didn't he say something like, well, they've learned a lot more than we've expected or something?
Yeah, and I'm wondering, the way William Bell dissolved when he rang the bell, can William Bell travel in the future? I don't know.
I don't know if he can travel in the future, but the bell was... We've seen that bell before where it rang in the other...
He uses soul magnets to travel or something?
Yes. Soul magnets!
But I love that moment between Peter and Olivia where she's saying that I'm all alone once again. And he's like, you're not all alone. It's like, you're not all alone, Olivia. You also have all your fans who watch the show. We love you. And here's one thing, Bill, and I told you this. I don't want to see Olivia getting shot in the head anymore.
No.
Remember the last season finale?
I don't even like to think about it.
Last season finale and this one, she gets shot in the head both times by Walter, a version of Walter. What the hell? Better not happen again.
That was so shocking to me.
It is. And
I knew there was going to be something shocking because I watched a preview for the episode and the guy that plays Broyles said that he was shocked by it. And he said, no. And I was like, oh, okay. So I'm waiting for something. And then out of nowhere, like, that happens.
And I was like, no. And Peter's like, you killed her. And he's like, hold her. And he's like, Peter, you got to snap out of this. Peter.
I think that's the best acting that Joshua Jackson has done.
I know. He's like, smacks him in the face. you need to focus. That was so disturbing when he's shoving the thing in her head, pushing the bullet out.
Oh, I mean, the sounds. I don't want those sounds.
I was like, why are they doing that to us as the viewers, huh? Why are they doing this to us? Why are you doing this to us? But anyway, the Cortexafan healed her. But yeah. I was going to say earlier, it was so cool when she caught the bullets with her hand.
That was super awesome. I was hoping she would stay like that through the next season.
Yeah, she caught them and then they deflected back at the chick from Lost. What is her name again, Bill? The redhead?
Rebecca Mader?
Yeah. Who was she?
I never know how to.
Remember, she was played the invisible girl on Alphas, the blind spot where they couldn't see her.
Yeah,
that's right.
I think it's her eyes, but I find her very attractive. It's just something strange.
Yeah, she is attractive. The scene though where they resurrect her and her eyes were going every which way.
Oh, creepy.
That was really effective.
She had multiple voices.
Yeah, and she was saying something about mommy, my bicycle rings a bell. And all this stuff's like, what the hell, man?
And eyes going this way and that way. Yeah. That creeped me out.
Yeah, the twitch on one side of her face.
That is creepy. And then Olivia shorts her out, basically. She's like Carrie, you know, she can't control her powers. But then at the end, the Cortexafan heals her brain. And Walter says something like her abilities have been diminished because it took so much of it to heal her, but it could show up later, you know, when they need it.
In the season finale.
I liked superpowered Olivia.
Yeah, me too. That's cool. Like the episode before, we didn't even talk about that, where she overtakes Peter's body so he can fight or whatever. That was hilarious. That was really cool. And at the end, she finds out she's pregnant. And
Henrietta.
Did you guys think about it at all that, like, is the baby okay? She was brain dead for a few minutes.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking, too. If she was brain dead, her heart wasn't pumping, so the baby wasn't getting blood or oxygen.
Is the baby okay? I'm really worried.
Well, maybe the Cortexafan kept the baby okay.
Yeah, we know the baby's okay because we've seen her in the future. And wasn't that a great line? Like, Walter's all happy, everything's back to normal or whatever, and then there's the Observer, and he's like, they're coming. He's like, who's coming? And there was a great line in the hospital, Bill, where he's sitting there and the lady's walking by and he goes, oh, is that Jell-O there? And she goes, these are urine samples.
Oh, no, thank you. I'm not thirsty. I'm just feeling a bit peckish.
I love Walter so much. That was gold. Because you have all this tenseness going on. You know, all this, it's just urgency. And then when it's all over, you have a great Walter joke there, you know. Sir, these are urine samples. I just love the way she says that.
I like the reaction, though, she gives whenever he says she isn't thirsty.
Oh, that's okay. I'm not thirsty. Like she was offering anyone with a urine sample to drink. But it's 13 episodes left, guys.
Well, you know, I think they'll take it out properly.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. 13 episodes, and then my job will be to own it all on Blu-ray, right?
Yep, I'm going to have to.
Own it all forever on Blu-ray. Gorgeous Blu-ray. Were you guys all happy with the finale?
I was.
I think I was satisfied with it, yeah.
You know, I was waiting for that disappointment like before, like some kind of cliffhanger where I go, no. Yeah. And instead I was like, yeah, I'm fine.
This cliffhanger was good.
Because they're coming. What was great is they had already set it up that the observers are coming in the earlier episode. So when he goes, they're coming, I was like, oh, the observers, cool. It's all going into place. And it was interesting how she said, the redheaded chick, she said that this is a special gun that shoots faster where they can't catch the bullet. Like William Bell, he's really like ahead of his time, like even ahead of Walter in whatever he's doing.
Well, I think, like you said, I think he's seen the future. He's traveled in time, through time.
He might have still... He's probably stolen Observer's technology somehow or something.
Yeah.
Because he knows how to trap them. He probably could have, like, said, and I'll be taking this, buddy. You know, or something like that.
Absolutely.
Maybe we'll see. What would be cool is to get, like, a William Bell flashback next season to see what he's up to or something.
That would be good. I just hope that Leonard Nimoy hangs on that long because, man, he's looking hard.
You know, was it Robert David Jones? Robert Jones?
David Robert.
I love that guy. He's a great actor. I had no idea. And until I found out, it all made so much sense to me. But that's Richard Harris's son.
Yes.
The great Richard Harris. And I was like, yeah. Of course he is. He sounds just like him when he talks.
Yeah.
And I was sad they kind of killed him in a way, even though I wanted him dead and you hate him, but he's a great actor. And it's a shame to not have him.
And if you think about it, he actually looks like a young Richard Harris.
Yeah, he's fantastic. He's great on Mad Men, too. And
he's
kind of sad.
He's Price, right?
Yeah, he hasn't been on the last couple of episodes. I'm like, oh, he's filming Fringe right now. You know what? One thing that was funny, though, one thing I love about Fringe is it never telegraphs anything. Telegraphs anything. They don't spell it out for you. You figure it out. But it was so funny because earlier in that episode, William Bell tells him about chess that sometimes you have to sacrifice the bishop. And the part where he's dying and he's crumbling, he goes, I'm the bishop. And I was like, he really didn't need to say that. He didn't.
Sometimes they can't resist.
I forgive Fringe for that, but because they usually don't do that. But maybe genuinely, he was like, oh, shit, I'm the bishop. I'm like, wait a second. I thought Harris would have been better. He's dying. He's dissolving. And he goes, I'm the bishop. And then he falls to pieces or something. Like, he realizes,
who's your god now? I'm the god.
I'm the creepy bachelor. You're feeling really tense right now. All right, Bill, you ready to do some news?
Let's do it.
Let's do the news. All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
All right, in Fruitland, Idaho.
Fruit Loops?
Fruitland. Fruitland.
Oh.
There was an unusual break-in reported at the local coffee shop. A local station, KTVB, received video of the break-in from the owner of the Big Star coffee shop.
She is nuts. She is a total Fruit Loop.
Mm. In the surveillance video, you can see two men breaking in and burglarizing the shop, and one of them happens to be wearing underwear on his head. I wonder if it was Fruit of the Loom. The men broke in through the back door and headed directly for the safe. They were unable to remove the safe, but made away with a till that the owner says contained less than $500. It's one hell of a haul.
Just going to file that under who gives a shit.
Yeah. I just like that he was like, shit, man, we don't have any ski mask. Use your underwear.
Quick, give me your underwear.
Man,
gross.
They're dirty. yeah, so now there's an underwear head on the loose with $500.
They're called the Brief Bandits.
The Brief Bandits.
He's like a moose.
All right, Norwalk, Connecticut. A city woman wound up her hospital stay. What? That is horrible English. A city woman wound up her hospital stay by being arrested by police Wednesday for checking into the hospital with 3 ounces of marijuana and mushrooms.
This is not good.
Maybe she was having a party. Heather Kruger, 30, of Norwalk, was charged with possession of hallucinogen, possession of marijuana with intent to sell. How do you know she was going to sell it? It was only 3 ounces. And possession of marijuana with intent to sell within 1,500 feet of a school. Possession of a hallucinogen with intent to sell. Possession of a hallucinogen with intent to sell within 1,500 feet of a school. And illegal distribution of marijuana and a hallucinogen. Could there be any more absurdity in all those charges?
Good Lord.
She was held in lieu of $20,000 bond. Here she just wanted to go to the hospital, have something checked out. Instead, she gets checked into prison.
I'm so wasted!
I just don't see... I don't know.
Would you guys legalize marijuana if we want to get heavy here for a second?
Absolutely. What's it harming? Who's it harming?
It'd make a bunch of people lazy, but they're already lazy, right?
Well, it could. Mm-hmm. There's multiple strains. You know, there's some that would make you lazy, but there's some that makes you real hyperactive. So,
if you make it legal, then people who use it, they have to take drug tests to get jobs. You can get a job then.
You ever suck some dick for marijuana?
I just don't see anything wrong with marijuana. I've done it multiple times in high school, and I didn't feel like going out and killing anyone. Marijuana, I just felt like laying on the couch and eating Cheetos and having Cheeto all over me.
The main thing that always drove me nuts about like stoners is that they never shut up about it. You know, like, get high, marijuana is... Like the whole culture, and you got the pot leaves on everything.
Those are also probably the guys that have actually never done it.
Marijuana.
Yes, marijuana.
But yeah, I mean, I don't have any problem with it. I've never done any hallucinogenics. They just scare me. I don't.
Yeah, that shit's scary.
Yeah, I don't want my brain seeing things that's not there. I just can't deal with that.
Yeah, because just before long, you start seeing creepy shit like
yeah, you start
symbols.
Oh,
well, it's like whenever you
six,
get
six,
six. My God,
the
Satan.
Mark of the beast,
the giant goat man in front
Dude,
of me.
Freaking out, you guys, man! Somebody help me, man!
One of my favorite stories is about how. Howard Stern took acid and went to see 2001 A Space Odyssey. It was the worst trip ever.
Of course.
And he said that he was waiting to feel something. He was just bored. All right. So moving on, we have Jackson, Michigan, where I used to live near Jackson, Michigan. I lived in Addison, Michigan with my dad in an apartment, and we would drive to Jackson because there was this awesome... a dairy place that whenever you ordered like a small banana split, it was the size of a shoebox.
Nice.
Like it was massive. And it was all the ice cream was made there and it was so good. But anyways, Jackson, Michigan, When her son exclaimed that he found a piece of a finger in his Arby's Junior roast beef sandwich last week, Jamie Vail thought the 14-year-old was goofing around.
If you don't move, you're going to lose a damn finger. I'm serious.
Yeah. He wasn't. In his last bites, Ryan Hart said he tasted something like rubber. It was tough to chew. Then he spit the piece of flesh from his mouth. I was like, that's got to be a finger. He said Wednesday evening to his Blackman Township home.
You don't know where that finger's been.
I was about to puke. It was just nasty.
Dude, I would have instantly puked.
Yeah, I would have vomited all over.
Holy shit.
Like, here's your horsey sauce back in perpetuity.
Horsey sauce?
Jesus Christ, they're evil!
The piece appeared to be the back of a finger.
What is wrong with you?
The back of the finger?
Including the pad and extending beyond the first knuckle.
Why don't you put your thumb up your butt?
Oh my God.
Excuse me?
So it was like half of the finger. It wasn't like the bone. It was the skin and flesh.
That meat. I'm going to hurl now.
I know. I'm just...
Good Lord. What the hell is that?
Oh, I'm honestly getting a little...
Change the subject quick.
Val and Wheaton estimated the portion to be about an eighth to a quarter of an inch thick.
I studied fromage.
It was unbelievable. It was gross. Blah, blah, blah. It happened. They don't understand why somebody lost part of their finger and they kept sending food out.
I believe in fairy tales.
After it happened, it wasn't closed. They just said it was an isolated and unfortunate.
Slicing meat, right?
Huh?
It was a guy slicing meat in the back.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
And his finger got a little too close.
He's like, I'll tell people on my break.
Well, now he never has to worry about getting a fingerprint on that finger.
What?
Well, because it shaved it right off.
Oh.
He looked like he had six fingers on each hand.
Oh, he could spare one.
Yeah.
What?
Now the boy hasn't been able to sleep very good. He's really worried lately. He doesn't want to catch anything. Oh. So he's basically, he has post-traumatic stress.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I would, too.
I would, too. I remember, remember we used to work with Carolyn in framing? Her son got some job in a machine
shop. Wait,
job.
We need a theme song for Tales from the Frame Shop. Tales from the Frame.
Her son went to work at some machine shop, just drilling holes, just like HI in Raising Arizona. First day on the job, he cut his pinky off.
Oh!
And he got fired, too, because, you know, you got to be safety conscious.
Thoroughly creeped out.
But she said he went through, it's just a pinky. You don't think you need that much, but he went through a depression after that.
Absolutely. Then, what's he going to snort coke off of?
What?
Really, he used the pinky finger, right? Yeah. That's what they do in the movies.
Oh, I wouldn't know about those things. I only watch family films.
Oh, okay.
Hey, what?
Continuing the... What could have been a promising television show and not given a chance, NBC has canceled Awake.
Aww. We knew it was going to happen, though.
Yeah, it received bad news a day after one of its best episodes aired.
Oh, you will remember this day until you lay to slumber, never to awaken.
They are letting it finish its first season, but...
That's cool. Hopefully it'll be an encapsulated season, because it is a great show.
It is. Three comedies also got dumped from NBC. Are You There, Chelsea? Thank God. Best Friends Forever and Bent will not be returning.
That sucks.
But Whitney was renewed.
Yeah, what the hell is that? I never watched the show, but
I watched one episode and I was just so disgusted by how awful it was.
It's not easy being cheesy.
But yeah, that's NBC for you right now.
I would have kept Bent and sacked that show.
Yeah, which was genuinely funny. It was, it had a certain lighthearted honesty to it.
Mm-hmm. I liked it.
It's good. When you think Highlander remake,
humanity.
Who do you see in the role of Connor McLeod?
Connor McLeod of the Clan McLeod. And I cannot die. Who do I see as... Connor McLeod. I'll tell you this way. Here's who I see playing Connor McLeod.
Haku Masende!
Worst casting ever!
Well, this might be the second worst. Ryan Reynolds is being eyed for the Highlander remake. He has emerged as a front runner. And though it's unclear whether an actual offer has been made, sources are telling Variety that both sides are currently in talks.
Have they ever seen the Highlander movies? Do they know there's only one good one?
Well, I'm reading like everyone that's involved with this, and I'm just like, oh, wow, this is going to suck. Juan Carlos Fresnadillo Dio is on board to direct.
What is Haggis?
And I don't know if I've ever seen anything directed by Juan Carlos Fresnadillo.
Juan Carlos Fresnadillo?
Yeah.
What does incompetent mean?
Oh, yeah, actually, I think I have. He did 28 Weeks Later, which was actually pretty good.
It was directed fine. I had problems with the story.
Well, yeah. but that's about like all. That's about all he's done.
Well, that's cool. I honestly wouldn't remake Highlander, but that's just me.
No, it doesn't need to be remade.
I love Highlander, the first one. You know, seen it a million times. It's funny how you've seen it so many times. Like, it is really cheesy in parts, you know. But I love it. It's got so much character. And Russell Mulcahy, he did such a great job. And he never did that good a job again on anything he ever made.
Yeah.
I wonder, like, Gregory Wyden, he wrote that. I wonder how much of that was in the script, you know, the transitions from the past to the future or whatever. That was really well done, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it was. It just flows perfectly. It's one of those movies that I don't. Yeah, you're right. It does have that 80s cheese to it, that certain fromage smell.
But it's genius. But,
yeah, it's great.
What does that move mean?
And it's got a funny sense of humor, too.
It does. It's very dry wit to it.
It's like, hey, Rockefeller. Remember that part? He's like, Candy said you were, you know, picky or something. He's like, don't ever say my name again. I love the Kurgan in that. Clancy Brown is awesome in that.
Krogan.
Oh, thank you, Krogan. Do you remember that? It's a Nora Mulberry inside joke. Steven, do you remember that? Genius.
I'm an idiot. All right, so last story we're going to cover, again, in entertainment. TrekMovie.com has posted an exclusive interview with Peter Weller. And I guess he's in this new Star Trek movie. I had no idea.
Sweet.
I'm super excited for that. They asked him if he plays an alien. He said he can't tell. He's sworn to secrecy, but he said, you know, do I look like an alien to you?
Oh, my.
So
it's so funny when people interview, like, I'll see the Star Trek movie when it comes out. I don't need to know any of this information. I don't need to know if he's an alien or he has, like, a brow, you know, alien brow or something. It doesn't matter. But it's same thing with, like, who will Cumberbatch be playing?
Yeah,
you know?
it's speculation and bullshit. I'll wait until I see the movie. I'm happy to hear that Peter Weller's in it.
Just ridiculous.
Yeah, and there will be a screenshot from the new Star Trek, and it's just like a guy leaning against a wall. Why is he leaning there, Bill? What do you think he's doing?
It's a guy sitting on a golf cart. Is that his ship?
I think if he gets off that wall he's leaning on, the whole universe will collapse.
I think you're right. He's holding it up, much like Atlas.
That wall is very important.
Yeah. So that's news for this week.
It's
I'm pretty much just grossed out right now after the finger thing, but
yeah.
Ballin'!
And go.
And that's news for this week.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for doing the news this week.
All right. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Helicopter guy.
Yeah, helicopter guy. What do you guys think about that, huh?
He's a douche.
That's because he crashed.
I love that guy.
Who got the cheese?
Not me.
he's...
Now, Steven, are you ready to do the DVD song?
Let's give it a try.
It's going to be awesome. Okay. Just think about the lyrics, those tough lyrics.
I can't wait for this.
I believe in fairy tales.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe in fairy tales too. Don't you guys? That's what makes it so kind of innocent about, you know, the whole thing.
Sorry, kid. I don't believe in fairy tales.
Oh, poor Wizard Master. He's died about 100 times on the show, hasn't he?
He has. And each time it's sweeter.
No! All right, guys. Ready for some DVDs? Let's do it, Steven! Wipeout. Ow!
Let's do some DVDs! DVDs, HD, Blu-ray, standard definition!
DVDs! Yeah, the DVDs, everybody!
I'm going to do everything I can to be on that good side with everybody. I don't want people to fear me. But when it comes time, I'm going to grab hold of those reins. Because when you're falling off, you better believe my arm's right over you.
You started to fall off the reins, pulled you back up.
Did you like that? Did you reach over me?
All right, Bill, what do we have in the DVDs this week?
You're still about a micron off, but it's better.
I was trying to ignore hearing myself sing back.
Oh.
Dirty dog.
You don't like to serenade yourself?
I swear, it's like, hey, good looking, we'll be back to pick you up later. That's just the nearest as I can explain it.
Yeah, just trying to ignore myself.
Mixer will fix that. All right, DVDs.
Hey.
Sorry, I couldn't mute my microphone fast enough on that one. DVDs for Tuesday.
Tuesday?
Bill?
I'm sorry, I had to mute for a burp.
Oh, okay.
I took a drink while you were singing and didn't sit well.
I got this.
DVDs for Tuesday, May 22nd, 2010. Or 2010, we've gone back in time!
Awesome!
2012.
This is insane.
Starting off with Castle in the Sky on Blu-ray and DVD. Hayao Miyazaki film.
That guy's really good at animation stuff.
Yeah, he's pretty talented.
He's good.
Or at least his studio is.
Did you ever see the? I know he produced it, but did you ever see The Secret World of Arrietty?
No, I didn't.
It was really good.
I sort of don't care.
Oh, hey.
Oh, that's really cruel.
Was some peni.
Okay.
There's no peni in the movie.
Yeah. Moving on, a film I've never seen, but I'm willing to see. Certified Copy, the Criterion Collection on Blu-ray. Never seen
it. What's it a copy of?
What's it a copy of?
Yeah.
I don't know. Love?
It's a certified copy of what?
Of Love. It's an enigma. Of a puzzle, of a riddle. Yes.
What was that, a copy coming out?
Yeah, it was a copy machine.
Why he's so hostile?
I'm not.
Okay, and next we have Mutant Girl Squad.
Whoa.
This is not good.
No, I have a feeling it's not. But it's got a bunch of Japanese high school girls that are mutants. Yes, but they're not turtles. They're girls, and it's a squad.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Girls. Cool.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's being released by Sushi Typhoon, which might just be the best studio name ever.
This is a game of tactics.
Is it directed by Jim Wynorski?
No, but it should be, but there needs to be boobs in there somewhere. Like Mutant Boob Girl Squad.
Oh, you look so beautiful.
Next is an interesting film name, Rape of the Vampire.
Excuse me?
Yes. Rape of the Vampire.
Ghetto and
someone could get shot and murdered, raped.
Okay. Yeah,
apparently, it's a French film, Le Vieux du Vampire.
I was raped.
Wow, that's a little unsettling title there.
Yes, a psychiatrist ventures to a remote castle to convince a four vampire sisters that they are misguided, brainwashed, and not creatures of the supernatural. And okay, so Yoda, I'm sure Yoda loves this movie.
Yoda already owns that shit. You kidding me?
Yeah, he has it bootlegged. speaking of Yoda, or creator of Yoda, next DVD and Blu-ray is Red Tails, story by Jorge
Lucas.
I totally thought
you were going to say Frank Oz.
No.
It is like the Wizard of Oz.
Yes, no. A story and produced by Jorge Lucas.
Oh, yes.
I'll rent it. Or no, I'll wait. I'll wait for it to appear on cable.
Dude, you know what? That movie's going to have the most awesome ever sound mix. You know? It's a Lucas film. They always have great sound mixes. A good clip there.
And speaking of the Secret World of Arrietty on DVD and Blu-ray this week, it is the Secret World of Arrietty.
Ooh, it's awesome. I really like it, Steven. You gotta see it. Oh, it's so secret.
I think it's funny that Amy Poehler and Will Arnett are voices in it, husband and wife.
Right.
I know your secret.
Oh my god. He knows every Arrietty's secret.
Arrietty's. Hey, it reminds me of Better Off Dead, where the mom says we're drinking Perrier.
Do you know what Evian spelled backwards is?
No.
It's naive.
This was a total waste of time.
Hey, when's that show coming back? Top Secret Recipe.
It's got to be soon. I get a letter from him like every couple weeks.
That guy is the biggest bozo.
I don't know how I got on his mailing list, but I'm there.
What if it's a curse?
Oh my god.
Next DVD and Blu-ray is Sherlock Season 2 from BBC Home Video. This is the version you want because the PBS is edited, so each episode is edited by about 10 minutes.
Bill, they just cut out of all that nudity.
Sherlock's a bit of a man whore.
Sherlock is such a great show. It really is.
It's so good.
It's fantastic. Benedict Cumberbatch, he's my hero. That guy's
greatest
awesome.
Name ever.
Cumberbatch.
Up there with Engelbert Humperdinck.
It totally is. And you know what, Bill? I hear that he's in the new Star Trek.
And, no shit.
And there's this picture of him sitting on a chair. You've got to see this. I wonder what he's doing in that chair.
Is it a space chair?
It's a space chair. What is he doing there?
He's in space.
Space chair. Space chair. The movie.
And it's just the chair.
Perpetrators from outer space.
Excuse
the
me.
Chair, the captain's chair was designed after.
Wow, that's messed up.
Yeah, so Sherlock Seasons 2, great season.
Fantastic.
Three wonderful episodes.
I've only seen the first episode of that season, but it's a great episode, and I've got the second episode on my DVR.
I'm not a huge fan of the second episode, but it's still good. There's some really funny moments in it.
Put the genie back into the bottle.
It's the Hounds of the Baskerville. So if you know the story, it's kind of a play on that.
I've never seen it, but I've seen Cujo.
Oh, well then, you'll know it's a large hound of Baskerville.
Oh, nice.
But the season finale, oh, holy shit.
Dog.
It will make you kick yourself in the head.
You know what? Mike was saying something on Facebook about how he didn't like all the uses of the internet and stuff. I do. I think it's genius.
I think it's very well done. Normally, so many shows do it in such a tacky, kind of futuristic, fake way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they do it. They approach it from a very realistic manner.
The way they established the Sherlock Holmes hat in that one bit was so funny.
Yes. Yes.
qui a coupé le fromage.
No, but I love also the uses of the text messaging and stuff. That's, I think they should do that. I know it, they shouldn't do it because it would get overused, but I want that in every show. You know what I hate on
just wait for Elementary.
Don't you hate when they put something that's not on a phone on a phone in TV shows that doesn't exist? Everyone owns an Android or an iPhone, and they always have it say in bold letters like "no messages," and it doesn't do that. And everyone knows it because everyone owns a smartphone, you know?
Yeah.
And they don't need to do that. And also, have you ever noticed when you put a smartphone up to your ear, it darkens. It goes black.
Yeah, it has the light sensor on it. So
but on TV shows, it stays lit. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah, because they're not really using it.
Or they're like, well, if it goes dark, people will think that you're holding a phone that's not on. It's like, no, they won't. They know how it works in real life. You use it every day.
So, well, people are stupid.
That's just my rant. Sorry.
No, I believe you. Disgusting. You know, speaking of what's got to be awkward is Benedict Cumberbatch and Johnny Lee Miller did a production of Frankenstein together where they switched parts on different nights.
Oh, and I've heard about this.
Johnny Lee Miller is playing Sherlock in the new CBS series Elementary.
Right.
So I wonder if that, like, if he's going to, like, make it his own role, or is he going to do the Benedict Cumberbatch type of Sherlock.
He's an elementary school teacher. That's why it's called elementary.
Oh. The one thing that they will not have on Elementary is the writing by Stephen Moffat, which...
Well, they won't have the wonderful Watson either.
No, they won't. They have Lucy Liu.
What the hell?
Yeah, it just sounds like a disaster.
Yeah.
They should have just brought back Murder, She Wrote. All right, let's move on.
They shouldn't make the show, Bill, is what they said.
What?
They just shouldn't make that show.
No, they shouldn't. It's, you know, it's typical of network programmers now. They're like, hey, that's popular. Hey, they're doing that.
Let's do that over here.
Yeah.
On this side of the pond.
We'll just switch it up a bit.
That's all flippy floppy,
we'll
right,
Steven?
We'll
make Watson an Asian woman.
Why he's so hostile?
Because that's where food started in Asia.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. All right, moving on. We have Whisper of the Heart. Oh. Was it a mean whisper?
Yes.
This is another Hayao Miyazaki film. Well, it's not directed by him, but it is written.
What is it called again? Because I don't think I've heard of that one.
Whisper of the Heart.
I've never heard of that. I have not heard of that. I'm not familiar.
It's a chance encounter with a mysterious cat sends Shizuku, a quiet schoolgirl, on a quest for her true talent.
Does this sound familiar?
Challenged by Seiji, a boy determined to follow his dreams and enchanted by the Baron, a magical cat figurine who helps her listen to the whispers of her heart. That stuff is, it just sounds so contrived, yet for some reason it works.
Emma, you want to say hi to Bill?
Hi.
Hi, Emma!
We're going to get you on the headset in just a minute, okay?
Okay.
All right, and last DVD and Blu-ray. The last one, The Woman in Black, starring Harry Potter.
Oh, I've heard about this.
Yes, this is the new Hammer film.
I'm a black girl.
Directed by MC Hammer.
Nice, he knew he'd get into directing.
Yep.
After all, he does what he wants to do, lives how he wants to live, directs how he wants to direct.
Yep, and the Addams Family's in this, apparently. But yeah, I've heard good things about this, that it's very creepy and it is very reminiscent of the Hammer films that had Peter Cushing in them. So
they're really creeped out.
So yeah, I'm gonna give it a watch. Not a buy, I'll rent it.
It's too scary. I'm not gonna watch
it. Oh, that's too bad.
I'm scared.
I'm so hammered.
What?
Huh? Who? What? They're Hammer films, right?
Yes.
I'm so hammered.
Oh, now I get it. I'm sorry. A little slow. It's whenever it switches over to midnight here, my mind shuts down.
No problemo, sir. So is that the final DVD
bill?
That's
it. That's it for this week.
All right, Bill. Thank you for doing the DVDs this week. Awesome.
You're quite welcome.
Well, you sound like
yes,
the word sure.
You're welcome.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thoroughly creeped out.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And scene.
Hey, Bill, welcome Emma. Hi, Emma.
Hi.
Welcome,
how are you?
Emma.
Great.
Bill just did the DVDs, and guess what? The Secret World of Arrietty comes out.
Yay!
On Tuesday.
Yay! I love that movie.
You do? What did you like about it?
It was about friendship, and that's how I like it.
Oh, wow. I mean, it also has little people in it, right?
Borrowers.
That's right. They're very tiny.
They borrow things they need to survive.
Sold.
Yeah. That's cute stuff.
If a human sees a borrower, they have to move.
You know what I like about those movies?
Why do they have to move?
Because it might be dangerous. And they thought they were the only last borrowers.
Oh.
Don't tell the whole movie. Bill hasn't seen it yet, but what I like about those Miyazaki films, even ones he didn't direct, you know, I'm sure he's, controlling everything, right, Bill?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
They take their time to tell the story, and it paces itself. It's not on a big rush. And
it doesn't force a bunch of exposition at you really fast.
Yeah, and it's
lets
not
it
boring
develop.
Either.
Yeah.
It's really good, and it's always beautiful animation.
Something great happened when I saw that movie.
What happened?
I saw my friend Samuel there.
That's true. We saw this one of her classmates like on the top row, and we were like, hey, let's sit next to them. So we sat next to her friend's
cool.
family. It was pretty sweet.
Samuel Minton.
Okay, I don't know if you should have said his name, but okay.
I'm going to look him up now. Who is this kid?
This is all dangerous. We shouldn't have done this. What have you done? No, I'm kidding.
He's seen one of the last borrowers.
He's seen too much. You know, I know a Samuel also.
Really?
Well, they can get a whole lot worse.
Samuel Jackson.
The guy who played Nick Fury in Avengers.
Oh, yeah.
He has an eye patch.
Oh, yeah. The guy who got scratched.
Yeah, he got scratched in the eye.
Yeah, scratch eye.
Scratch it. Old scratch eye, we call him. I know, it's a funny nickname. Well, guys, that was episode 258 of Nowhere Mulberry.
Wow.
Thank you for listening. Yeah, that deserves a wow, big time. If you'd like to go to nowheremulberry.com, you can find a link to our forum. Also, Mulberry Old School there. We've got every episode of Nowhere Mulberry, except for, all the special shows. But right now we have every regular episode, right, Bill?
Yeah.
Also, you can leave us a voicemail at 126-202-1298. Leave us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com, and it'll be fantastical. It'll be totally sweet.
Oh, and here's some late news, late breaking news. The Avengers will be on Blu-ray September 25th.
Nice. Oh. Can't wait to get the Blu-ray.
That'll be one of your 3D Blu-rays.
Awesome.
HD 3D Blu-ray. Standard definition.
That's kind of creepy.
What was? The way I talked?
Yes.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Now, Bill, he's the creepy bachelor.
I'm the creepy
I love
there.
That she laughs at that.
Now, Bill, do you own Chronicle on Blu-ray yet?
I do. I have Chronicle and... the Gray I picked up. So I
Chronicle.
Was going to watch them the other day, but I got sidetracked. It's been so nice out lately that I hate to spend any time inside. I'm like tending to my garden.
Well, I really want to see that extended cut.
So do I. I want to know why, like what they've added. So I'm looking forward to watching it.
I don't want to.
Yeah, you shouldn't watch it, Emma. Well, you watch Arrietty instead.
I'll Chronicle would be a little scary.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's the show, guys. Be sure and leave lots of feedback. We didn't get very much this week, and it made me really sad. It made me start to question my life and why we do this show.
Yeah, but then don't send too much, because then we'll be doing it for an hour.
Awesome, Bill. Yeah.
Temper yourselves.
Emma, would you like to say anything before we go?
Yay, people.
Yay, people.
Yay, I love that.
Sounds good.
Yay, people.
Hooray for humanity.
I saw all your episodes.
Excuse me? What's that guy talking about?
Love that show.
Oh, you look so beautiful. Oh,
thank you. Hey, Emma, do you know what this means in French?
Qui a coupé le fromage?
You know what that means? It means...
Who cut the cheese?
That's right. Who cut the cheese?
Has she ever seen Freakazoid?
No, I need to get that on DVD.
She would be in tears and stitches on the floor laughing.
Yeah, I need to show that to her.
Already in it.
Awesome.
Bonjour, class. Comment allez-vous?
Oh, well, thank you, Freakazoid.
What does that mean?
It means, what does bonjour mean? It means hello, right?
Yeah.
Good evening, class. Hello, class. What does it mean, Steve? Good day, class. Yeah, whatever. I just sound stupid, so let's move on. All right, everybody. That was our show. See you next time. Bye. Emma, say bye.
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 Then maybe you shouldn't be living here.
Wrong with you?
Get dirty dog deep.
What the hell's wrong with this girl?
Why he's so hostile?
666.
Jesus Christ, they're evil.
The mark of the beast.
Thoroughly creeped out.
Complete cheesemonger.
Wait.
Wow, that's messed up.
He's all bulgy. He's like a moose.
I believe in fairy tales.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, kid. I don't believe in fairy tales.